Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. I'm Todd Bromelkamp. He's Alex Kuhn. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can find them at one of their two showrooms in eastern Iowa, either here in Cedar Rapids or on the Coralville Strip in Johnson County. Great show for you today. We thank Randy's Flooring, by the way, for their Monday sponsorships. Big weekend series of baseball in the books. The Iowa Hawkeyes taking 2 of 3 from Darren Erstad and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We'll check in with Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen coming up at the bottom of the hour. Actually, check in with him in about 15, 20 minutes. Chris Earl from TV9, frequent listener and sometimes contributor to the program, is also going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. As we covered last week here on the program, the state of Iowa moving forward with legalizing sports gambling. One step closer today as the House was set to take up debate. We'll get his thoughts on what that could mean for the state, as well as a timeline on a signature from Governor Kim Reynolds, should that move forward. Baseball discussion, what's going on with the number one overall pick, and a whole lot more. We'll even put the wraps on Iowa State's spring football practices. I know we did not discuss a ton of Iowa State spring football over the past week, 2 weeks, and I know that has upset some of you. My apologies for that. I do feel as if perhaps we dropped the ball on that, and that's my fault, and I take full responsibility for that. We'll try to make it up for you today by talking about there's no spring game.
No, there's no spring game.
See, the problem is there's not much to talk about when there's nothing to see. But we managed to do it with Iowa, and I know that upsets the Iowa State fans. How was your Easter weekend?
It was good.
I know you spent it back in St. Louis with the family.
I did. Got some good family time in, and we had a nice feast yesterday, and it was beautiful in St. Louis. I know it was beautiful here as well. So how was yours?
It was spent at home because my son was a little under the weather, unfortunately. So the positive to that is we didn't have to spend any time in the car traveling. We got to spend some wonderful family time together, and we weren't necessarily planning on that, so we had to put an Easter dinner together on the fly, and my wife, who is of Irish descent, and me, who is of German descent, had a traditional Easter dinner of spaghetti and meatballs last night, because that's what we
had
on hand.
Right.
But it went over well with my son. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. We have for you all week long here on the program an opportunity to take home a $30 gift certificate to La Cantina, one of the three locations. You can use it at any of their three locations across the corridor. The location in Marion, which has a relatively brand new party room, and then the two here in Cedar Rapids, the one in downtown right across from the U.S. Cellular Center, and the one on Edgewood in the Fountains. A big thank you to La Cantina, and we'll hook somebody up with that gift card again before 7 o'clock tonight. Twins baseball is on tap. They are, I believe, in the state of Texas, taking on the Houston Astros. We've got baseball to discuss. The Cubs had a nice walk-off win yesterday against the Arizona Diamondbacks after Pedro Strop blew the lead, and the Cardinals put Michael Wacha on the injured list. So a lot of movement in the National League Central to discuss. 366-1600, though, the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. We are going to, in the 5 o'clock hour, have Joe Rivera of the Sporting News on with us to discuss baseball. Luke Voit and the Yankees are having some injury issues right now. Aaron Judge is now on the injured list after what appeared to be an oblique strain yesterday. That's a very difficult injury to rehabilitate during the season. They now have, I think it's something like 13 or 15 players on the injured list. Their top five offensive contributors from a year ago are all on the injured list as well. Not a good time to be a New York Yankees fan, and yet they are. There they are, hanging around in the NL East race.
That's why I find following Major League Baseball right now not necessarily frustrating, but I don't know what to make of a lot of these starts from some of these teams, because it just seems like there are a lot of injuries. The bullpens haven't been all that effective. And you look at teams like the Yankees, who you expect to be there in the end. You don't expect the Red Sox to be this bad for this long. And you see at the teams like the Cubs, where you don't know what to make of them. You saw a bad start. You've seen them come back and win some games in a row.
Oh, we know what to make of the Cubs at this point. Let's be honest. They're a good team. They're not a great team.
That's sort of the NL Central in a nutshell.
Being led by David Bodie.
David Bodie.
Who had to run out of the ballpark yesterday after his walk-off hit so he could go back home and celebrate the birth of his third child with his wife in Colorado. 366-1600, the number to reach us here. Again, we'll have Chris Earle of TV9 with us in just a short while. Chris is going to weigh in on legalized sports gambling and daily fantasy sports, which will be a part of this bill, which has been taken up by the Iowa House today. It passed the Senate last week, one step closer to becoming law. The House is expected. The Senate did not debate the bill. They just passed it. And presumably, if the House does the same thing, this is going to fly right into Terrace Hill and get Kim Reynolds' autograph. And then it's time to hit the ground running, and everybody's going to make a beeline to a casino so they can set up their account. And then people will be tapping away on their phones at Kinnick Stadium, Jack Trice Stadium, Carver Hawkeye Arena.
This just seems like an issue that everybody complains about America and how we're so bureaucratic and we got to discuss everything and there's two sides to everything. This seems like one where there isn't really much to debate to be had. You're either for it because you realize how much money it can make the state, or you're against it morally. There's really no other discussion to be had. So when you say that there wasn't much debate, that doesn't surprise me at all. The Senate just sort of passed it, and then there were 18 senators who voted against it, 31 who voted for it, and it just completely crossed party lines, and it was whoever held which opinion as to who voted for it or against it.
Yeah, that's really the interesting thing about this, is that you see very few issues nowadays that will get people from both parties on both sides. And yet, here we are with at least the Senate portion of this. And I have not seen an update yet today as to how the House is handling this. I've had other matters on my hand, like trying to figure out what else we're going to be talking about today, because Easter weekend is next to, there's everybody who listens to sports talk radio, especially this program, knows that the absolute worst day of the year, the day that I loathe, and I don't think Alex probably likes it all that much either, is the day after the All-Star game.
Yeah, it's
Major
the worst
Baseball
of the year.
All-Star game. There's nothing.
It's a wasteland
going
for
on.
Sports talk radio.
The other day is, for me, traditionally December 23rd. We, unless the calendar falls the right way, have to work on December 23rd. And everybody's on vacation. Everybody's got time off. No one's listening. Same with July 5th, day after a holiday. Nobody's listening. I broke with, we're going to have Dargan Southard, I mentioned, of the Iowa City Press Citizen coming up in about 10, 15 minutes or so. But if there's one thing that is always raised my ire, people who invite themselves onto the show. And there's one exception. It did not bother me today because, as I said, beggars cannot be choosers on a day like today. Chris Earle of TV9, a frequent, Chris, can we call you a frequent contributor to the program? How would you like to be billed when you
can bill? Gentlemen, you can bill me anything that you like for today. What a crazy day this has turned out to be, huh?
Yeah. Where I have not seen an update. Where are we with the House taking up the sports gambling bill?
Well, where I'm seeing this is right now, if you go onto legis.iowa.gov and, you know, you click on the live video to kind of get a sense of it, it will say the House is at ease. So the Republicans are meeting in their caucus. The Democrats are meeting in their caucus. And so I'm assuming this is probably part of what they're trying to figure out. It seemed, especially if you went on Twitter a couple of hours ago, that they were at the point where especially those who write about sports gambling, sports betting, kind of assume that this would get pushed through today. I'm not sure if that's the case when you look at where everything's going with the journalists, because it's kind of slowed down. A lot of the activity is, and I wonder how much of this is, how much do they want to copy over Senate File 617 and make that a House bill? For any of you who might be really curious about this, if you want to go through the 39 pages of it, Senate File 617, which kind of spells out some of the regulations that were out there. Because I imagine there's probably a lot more concerns for some of the elements of, do they want to allow action on Iowa, Iowa State, you and I, Drake, when, you know, like if they're playing in men's basketball, for example, for you and I or Drake, or for Iowa, Iowa State, for any of the major revenue sports. It's just, there's a lot that I think needs to get figured out. They have set this, I think, this artificial date of July 4th to start taking action if this passes. If this does pass the House, then, of course, it goes to Governor Reynolds' desk. She's been relatively quiet about this when it's come up. Did talk about how she does think it has to be regulated, obviously. But again, that's another wild card, too, because I don't think anybody really knows where that's going to go. But she would have 3 days then if it gets to her desk this week.
With how partisan our political climate is, did the Senate vote surprise you at all, just how much this crossed party lines?
Not really, because in all the years I've been watching this, it's not necessarily a Republican or a Democratic issue. I think it's one where much more of a vice issue for some, or more of a financial risk issue. You know, you often see it with some of the other things, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, where there might be some on the right who are much more libertarian about it. There might be some on the left who are much more open about it, but then others who may not, maybe for faith-based reasons on the right side, or for just concern about finances or addiction on the left. I was more surprised by the margin of which it passed than by who voted for it.
Chris Earle of TV9 joining us on the program, giving us an update as to where the Iowa sports gambling bill is at in the Iowa House of Representatives. Again, this passed the Senate last week with very little to no debate. The House seems to be deliberating about it a little bit more so. You strike me as the type of guy who maybe has a little bit of a personal interest in this story as well. Chris, would I be right?
Well, I've always had an interest in just following this stuff, just for seeing the expansion of it, because you had the Supreme Court ruling for last year. And especially where I find it really interesting is for Iowa, because I think, two-thirds of our casinos are within 15 miles of another state. I mean, have you guys talked about this with – can you imagine if this gets on the books, what it's going to be like 2 hours before a Nebraska kickoff over in Council Bluffs? How long are the lines going to be there? When you think of Husker fans who are just trying to get action down, and that's going to be really kind of fascinating. Is it going to be like that in Dubuque on Sundays for Packers and Bears fans? And because the way that the casinos have been set up around the state, I mean, even Riverside is only 30 miles from Illinois if you go through Muscatine, where they try to set all of these up and allow the licenses to pull in as much out-of-state money as possible. And even the ones on Interstate 80, they're easy to get to. You think of Prairie Meadows. You think of Rhythm City over in the Quad Cities. They're not hard to get to. You see them from the highway. So even if you're just driving through Iowa, it's relatively easy to go there and play.
The thing that I find interesting about this is you have to go in, you physically set up the account. You'll most likely have an app on your phone. But with the GPS, you're going to need to physically be within the borders of the state of Iowa. So we had a guest on last week, Lee Sterling, who is a little bit of a tout Florida.
Yeah.
And Lee said, can you imagine what the bridge across the Missouri River is going to look like from Omaha to Council Bluffs? People are going to be trying to get within the state's borders to pass this. So you said 3 days if this passes. It goes to Governor Reynolds, and she has 3 days to decide whether she's going to sign this or not.
Now then, if this gets to her desk outside of session, then I believe she's got 30 days. Do not hold that in stone. So, but it kind of seems that, especially those who are supporting it, there was kind of a sense that it would actually go through the House today. And I don't know if that's the case. At last check, and you guys might actually see it before I do, because Twitter's been relatively quiet for about the last 2 hours on this, from a lot of the Capitol reporters whose work that I trust. But it'll be very curious to see where this goes. And you talk about for the apps, is that, you know, Nevada's like that too. And a lot of the casinos I'm seeing are kind of pairing, the ones here in Iowa are pairing up with, you're seeing William Hill popping up in at least one place, and some of the other well-known names for sports books in Nevada and elsewhere to manage the operations. And I can't imagine that these casinos would be doing this unless they truly believe it's going to be going through and ready for action on July 4th or whenever the date might be.
The fact that there seems to be this lull and this silence here, should people who are backing this be a little nervous right now that this isn't flying through the House chamber the way that it did on the Senate side?
Well, that's also, you know, they could make it an identical bill and just call it a House bill for what Senate File 617 is, and I believe that would give it much easier passage. But if there is some sausage making going on, then of course that's going to take longer. And remember, there's other bills they're trying to figure out to be able to get out of this week or next at the latest. So since I'm not in there, you know, you don't know really what they're necessarily talking about for right now. But at least at last check, that wasn't the case. But the momentum for it, again, it's curious with Iowa because we are surrounded. We've got Minnesota, you've got Illinois, you've got Wisconsin, you've got Missouri, lots of states that have major league teams, which makes it, I've always felt, easier to pass something like this because you don't get any brushback from any of the professional sports leagues that are out there from the major leagues because you really can't for Iowa because they don't have a franchise.
They're just talking about speed cameras and the bottle bill. I mean, that stuff nobody cares about. We want to be able to get our action down on the games, right?
Well, but I think another curious point is that how much will this really bring in once you get to September? Once you get to week one of the college football season, are people going to be coming from Illinois? Are they going to be driving down from southwest Wisconsin to plunk down $25 on the Badgers to go cover 37.5 points against New Mexico State or whoever they have for week one? But I would expect, though, I would not be surprised if those Council Bluffs casinos have quite a hold on Nebraska action. Just because, I mean, Omaha is 3 miles away, and it just seems just too easy for – and again, the state, I believe, at least from the Senate bill, would get 6.75%. That would be from the adjusted gross revenue from any sports book. So that would go back to the state from that. So let's say if somebody puts down $100, and that's part of the adjusted gross revenue, $675 of that goes to the state automatically.
All right. Chris, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. You'll have to share that sweet and sour shrimp recipe with me sometime off the air.
Still working with it. The key is to get the pineapples and to cut them into little pyramids. That is the key to do it. I imagine on this bill, though, we're going to know a whole lot more tomorrow. It's because it's still very, very fluid from the people I've been kind of in contact with. They've said nothing really seems to be in place right now except that you're kind of getting this push, I think, from the pro side that really thinks that they can pass this today. But like we said, it's kind of slowed down for now.
Chris Earle, TV9, joining us to talk Iowa legislative issues, just exactly what you would expect to hear on KGYM. Thanks, Chris. We do appreciate it.
Have a good one, gentlemen. See you.
It is a little, I wouldn't say disconcerting, but this flew through the Senate.
Yeah, I know. But if I've ever learned anything about the way that the government functions, nothing moves fast. Nothing happens quickly.
The House is at ease. That strikes me as something that I would overhear him saying to one of our coworkers here in the building about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that sounds like a Game of Thrones quote.
The House is at ease.
Winter
Iron
is
Throne,
coming.
Cersei.
The House is at ease.
Midgets, Walking Dead, corpses, White Walkers.
White Walkers.
Yep. I don't know. 94% of things that I know about Game of Thrones are overheard conversations in the hallways of this building, people who watch the show talking about it. I've never seen anything like this before. No TV show has grabbed hold of this building the way that Game of Thrones has grabbed hold of the employees here. And me, I feel I'm out of the loop. I don't know what's going on. I've never watched the show. I'm not proud of that. There are people out there that are really proud of the fact that they've never watched the show. Not me. I don't like, the millennials have a term, FOMO, fear of missing out.
And yeah, I have that bad.
I'm missing out. Am I missing out? Some people would say yes. Some people would say no. There are many good people on both sides. Let us never forget. 319-366-1600. It is 422. There's only one good side when it comes to Iowa and Nebraska, right? You're talking football, basketball, anything. Iowa taking 2 of 3 from Big Ten leading Nebraska over the weekend at Duane Banks Field. Stands were packed. Nate Stanley throwing out the first pitch. Hawkeyes looked good. Dargan Souther to the Iowa City Press-Citizen, set to join us next as we find out just exactly where Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes are as the conference season slogs on.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Attend Junior Achievement's Taste of Achievement, April 26th at the Veterans Memorial Building in Cedar Rapids. Enjoy fine wines, specialty beers and hors d'oeuvres, a silent and live auction, music, and more. Sip, savor, and support life-changing education programs for children.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
Many mammals and birds include the expansive grassland of Target Field along their migratory path. In April, this ecosystem attracts animal activity from deadly predators such as the Detroit tiger to songbirds like the Toronto blue jay. No stranger to this adversity, the Twins fan comes prepared with several layers of clothing and, of course, a plaid flap cap. On April 27th, the elusive Baltimore Oriole will pay its visit, and the first 10,000 fans will receive a plaid flap cap courtesy of Pepsi.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are four times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com
presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Who will change the future of your team?
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Mondays on the show, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can find more about their offerings at their website, randysflooring.com. 426, welcome back in, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM. Some severe weather in the area. We will keep you abreast of the thunderstorm watches and warnings as they roll in. And we've got Joe Rivera of the Sporting News set to join us to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. Lots of baseball news to get to. Speaking of baseball, just a few minutes from now, Dargan Souther of the Iowa City Press-Citizen will weigh in on Hawkeye baseball. Here to get you caught up on Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes and a whole lot more, Kyle's got our first Alexander Lumber big board update of the day. You can find Alexander Lumber at their temporary location in Iowa City. More on Alexander Lumber to come throughout the program.
It was a big statement weekend for the Iowa baseball team, taking two of three games from a Nebraska team that came to Iowa City leading the Big Ten and ranked 30th in the country. Zeb Adrian delivered a walk-off victory in Game 1 on Friday, and Ben Norman and Isaiah Fullard each homered in a wild 17-9 victory in Game 2, in which eight different Hawkeyes knocked in a run. Iowa came up short in Game 3, but it already clinched its fourth consecutive Big Ten series win to move into fourth place, just a game and a half out of first. Milwaukee comes to town for a game tomorrow at 6. It was a weekend for the record books for the Iowa golf team. They broke the program 18-hole record with a first-round 262 at the Hawkeye Invitational, and by the time the Hawkeyes won the whole thing on Sunday, they'd beaten the 54-hole record by 24 strokes. Matthew Walker and Alex Shockey led the way, sharing co-medalist honors at the top. The Rough Riders split a pair of games in the Western Conference Finals of the USHL playoffs over the weekend, so they and the Chicago Steel return to Cedar Rapids for games 3 and 4 tomorrow and Wednesday. The Colonels fell just short of sweeping Beloit with a loss on Saturday, but the Colonels are up in Wisconsin tonight to start a 7-game road trip, first pitch set for 6:35. And once we hop off the air, we're going to have the first-place Twins just in time for first pitch from Houston. First pitch is set for 7:10. You can hear it on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette reporting that the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders picked up a couple players today in the USHL dispersal draft. The Central Illinois franchise is going dark next year, so the Riders have added a defenseman, Jason Seedham, who's a Boston College commit, and Joshua Barnes, who's committed to play his college hockey at Penn State. Both of those young men are 16 years old, so you may see them at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena sometime in the near future. And Riders home tomorrow and Wednesday, as Kyle said, game 3 and 4 of the series. We do want to take a second to pass along our condolences to the Iowa City High Little Hawk family and the Iowa Athletic family on the passing of John Raffensperger, the longtime track coach at Iowa City High, who had been most recently a volunteer assistant coach for the Hawkeyes, and Joey Woody, one of his former pupils, for the last 13 years. Those of us in the media also came to know Raff as the in-house press box PA voice of Iowa football. And we will miss him. I will miss him making his way past me on the second row of the Kinnick Stadium press box to visit with the visiting SIDs to go over pronunciations of names. Chad Lystico, the Des Moines Register, a frequent contributor and guest on this program, ran track for Raff at City High and has a wonderful tribute column to him today at hawkcentral.com. You can read it there. Also at hawkcentral.com, you can read the work of our next guest, Dargan Southard, set to join us right now, coming off a big weekend for Heller Ball, the Iowa Hawkeyes, taking 2 of 3 from Big Ten leading Nebraska. Dargan, what did this past weekend mean for the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, you know, it. I guess if you zoom out and look at the weekend as a whole, Iowa did what it needed to do to, you know, keep its at-large chances alive. But I guess if you zoom in on yesterday's game, you know, Rick Heller and everybody were a little disappointed that they couldn't finish off the sweep. And if you look at the RPI, Iowa's dropped 8 points from the weekend, but a win yesterday could have dropped it, you know, more in the 20 to 25 range. So, and you know, it stung just from the fact that it was a game, it was a close game. Nebraska kind of went ahead on some miscues. Iowa had chances late to, you know, steal another one, but couldn't get it done. But overall, you know, they had to have this series to keep really any legitimate at-large hopes alive. And it's still going to be a pretty small margin for error coming down the stretch here. But, you know, a good environment all weekend, good performance. Iowa under Rick Heller, one of the staples has been how well they've played at home. And that continued this weekend in a big rivalry series win.
Are we starting to feel the Connor McCaffrey presence in the lineup when he is in there?
Yeah, you know, he's just, I guess, from circumstances, when he jumped in, it's pretty much a platoon to where he's only hitting against he's only in the starting lineup against righties. But when he's in there, I mean, he definitely gives them, you know, some pop kind of in the back end of their lineup. You saw it yesterday. You know, the home run was win-aided, I guess you could say, but still hit the ball hard. And then the ball that was probably hit harder was the out that he made in the ninth inning on a ball that was nearly a double that would have put the tying run in scoring position. But, you know, I think he's past the transitional part of moving from one sport to the other. You know, now this is his, I believe, his third weekend back full-time with baseball. So, you know, he said yesterday that his swing is is in a pretty good spot, all things considered. And I think, you know, whether it's in the lineup or even to have that kind of bat be able to pinch hit late in games in a pivotal situation, if he is coming off the bench that particular day, is a nice weapon to have. So, you know, I think he's, you know, completed this transition that's been talked about for so long is about as well as you could realistically expect so far.
What are your impressions of Isaiah Fuller, the former Kirkwood standout, and his impact on Iowa baseball, especially this past weekend series?
Yeah, they call him Meat Patty. Learned that this weekend. That's a riveting baseball nickname for Mr. Fuller there. But yeah, you know, another JUCO guy. Obviously started at Iowa City West, but came from Kirkwood. So continuing that success that Rick Heller's had, you know, I think his bat is starting to heat up, as a lot of guys' bats are when the weather is stabilizes and you get those consistent warm days and those consistent practices where they're not having to worry about the weather. So, you know, I think a lot of, you know, obviously big holes, big shoes to fill just in kind of what that first base spot has been the last few years. But, you know, big home run on Saturday, 406 to dead center, which not many balls go out in that part of Duane Banks Field. So a big hit there, and had an RBI single yesterday that tried to get a late rally started. So, you know, the offense had been kind of hit or miss coming into this series. You know, Rick Heller talked about they saw them, the coaching staff as a whole, saw signs of offensive life in a more consistent fashion that's been this weekend showed. But, you know, obviously the bats, Pollard right there, broke out this weekend in a way that'll be needed coming down the stretch, given that Iowa's pitching staff has been good, but it's, you know, real thin with where some of the injuries have happened. So anytime Iowa can get, you know, offensive outbursts and widen that margin for error with the pitching staff is always a good thing.
You mentioned the offense being hit or miss, and I think a lot of Iowa fans the last couple of years grew accustomed to seeing Robert Nystrom and guys like Jake Adams in the middle of the lineup, even Mason McCoy, where there were some big boppers. Does this team doesn't necessarily have that. They're more of a gap-to-gap type lineup, right?
Yeah, it's not as potent as it's been the last couple of years. You know, you can look at the home run numbers, the RBI numbers, and kind of see that pretty easily. And that's not really that shocking, just because all the firepower that moved on over the last couple of years, Adams and Nystrom, as you mentioned, and then Cropley, and even guys like Hoig and, you know, some of those guys were, you know, more experienced than some of the guys that have plugged in this year. But, you know, and getting Tanner Padgett back, it sounds like that he's going to, you know, he didn't look great running this weekend, but I think he's going to slowly get fully back to health to where they can not feel like he's a total liability on the base pass. But he was hitting around 400 before he got hurt. So, you know, it's got the ability to break out and have big games like it did on Saturday. But as far as expecting that on a consistent basis and banking on, you know, even seven plus runs on any sort of regular schedule is not really how this team has rolled this year. But, you know, I think everybody as a whole, and you know, it's obvious with any team around the Midwest, you get the weather warmed up, you get where you can get in, you know, your routine. And I think everybody kind of looks at that back stretch of the schedule when the weather stabilizes as, okay, this is the time that guys who have maybe been scuffling are going to heat up. And you've seen it with some guys. You know, Chris Whalen comes to mind. He's really turned it on over the last 2 weeks or so. Ben has been pretty solid this year all the way through. So the offense has sparks, but, you know, it's not, again, it's not something that you can count on to go off and carry the team, you know, night in and night out.
Dargan Southard on Iowa baseball with us on Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Of the three remaining Big Ten series that the Hawkeyes have yet to play, which one is the most crucial in your opinion?
Well, you know, I guess the coach speak answer would be they're all crucial because, you know, you saw last year what happened when, you know, Iowa thought it had the big series won and then didn't finish against the lower tier teams in the conference. But if I'll pick one, I will say the Maryland series to end the year. If Iowa does what it's supposed to against the lower level teams, the Michigan State and Ohio State, as well as the midweek games, and gets that big series win with a chance to chisel the RPI down even more against Irvine, I think it'll be in position where going into that Maryland series on the road, that could dictate how much, how much success they'll need to have in the Big Ten tournament to solidify regional berth, or if they have to win the Big Ten tournament. So I think Iowa, if I had to bet, is going to put itself in position kind of, you know, right around where it was last year, right on that bubble, maybe on the wrong side one week, maybe on the right side another week. But I think coming down the stretch, that Maryland series on the road the last week could be a big boost because Maryland's RPI isn't great. It's, you know, not quite in the, you know, top five of the Big Ten, but, you know, it's hovered around in the 70s and the 80s. So it's not as bad or detrimental even playing those games as is the case with the Ohio State and Michigan State series. So I think Maryland that last weekend could be could dictate a lot about where Iowa heads or if it heads to the postseason.
How good has Cole McDonald been? We always talk about how important it is for that Friday night starter to go deep into games, and he's gone, I think, six innings in his last four starts. Six plus innings.
Really rounded into the Friday guy that they expected him to be in Big Ten play. You know, came out of the gates a little slow, maybe was putting a little too much pressure on himself as that Friday guy, but really in conference play, he stepped up. Had a really good start on Friday. And I think the biggest thing with him among, you know, just his confidence growing is being able to, even when his stuff isn't the crispest, isn't the sharpest, that he's able to keep his team in the game and keep the game close. And that's what you saw on Friday. So I think he's going to be obviously pivotal down the stretch, as are all the weekend rotation guys. But you know, if they can continue to get that Friday night dominance and really set the tone on weekends with getting that shutdown performance to start, I think that can go a long way in how this season ends.
What type of an impact have you seen Tom Gorzolani make or instill in this pitching staff?
Yeah, you know, it was going back to January. It was to be able to have that option fall in their lap when the coaching change didn't happen at a ideal time, I think is, you know, a great ending to a tough situation. And, you know, in talking to some of the pitchers, I think just a lot of what you expected when you have a major league guy of 10 years on your staff is, you know, maybe you can't pinpoint exactly where that experience impact is going to happen beforehand. But when it does, you know, those tips or those little tidbits or those little boosts of, you know, experiencing baseball at the highest level, I think has gone a long way with this pitching staff. And it's not been an easy challenge in year one for him. I mean, you have Jack Dreyer out for the year, Ben Probst out for the year. Those were two guys that they were really counting on. You know, have Cam Bauman's had to step into the weekend rotation. So, you know, there's been some juggling that has happened here in year one, but I think for the most part, the way that everything has come together under Gorzolani and what he's been able to bring has been pretty beneficial. Now, you know, whether that's a long-term fix, I don't know. I think Rick Heller probably knows that he will have to make another hire there in the not so distant future, but it's kind of a stopgap and making the best of a tough situation. I think, you know, it's worked out pretty well across the board.
Compared to years past, how does this year's version of the Big Ten look as a whole?
Yeah, I was looking at the standings over the weekend. You know, I don't think the league is quite as deep as it was last year, where you had Minnesota hosting. You had, I believe, four or five teams got in. You had another two or three that were right there on the bubble. So, you know, as many as six, seven teams going into mid, late May felt like they had a chance at the postseason. I don't think it's quite as deep this year. I mean, you have some teams, Nebraska's bounced back, obviously, but Maryland has continued to struggle a little bit. Minnesota's not been quite as good this year. Ohio State was in a regional last year. They're not quite as strong this year. So, but still, you know, there's been chances for big wins. Nebraska, Illinois, you know, the Indiana series didn't work out, but that was another team. So, you know, it's interesting just to look at how it'll come together and where these teams end up and what their RPI ends up being when you play them. But, you know, there's been chances there to solidify the schedule and get the most out of it as possible. But, I think the league maybe not quite as strong as year past, but still definitely has come a long ways from, you know, maybe five, six, 7 years ago where nobody was really on, you know, the national radar that much except for a few years here and there.
Darren Erstad had the Huskers in first place coming into this weekend, and all the reaction I see from Nebraska fans online was that they're ready for him to go. Is he in trouble?
You know, I that would be interesting if he is, just because, you know, he's obviously done a lot at that place, and you know, that's kind of the corner that you can back yourself into when you get you know, a guy familiar with the program and he doesn't maybe meet the expectations, how, you know, absurd they may be. But, you know, I still think there's a good, you know, Nebraska is a solid team. I think they'll, you know, be a dangerous out in the tournament. I think they just, you know, Banks, like I said, it's been a tough place to play. And, you know, I think they just caught Iowa on a weekend where it was juiced up and needed to play well and did. So, as far as where fans, I'm not sure, but I would think that might just be a little Nebraska overreaction that is oh so common across the board there.
I've never heard of such a
thing. Yeah, no, they never overreact to anything. Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys.
You can read his work at hawkcentral.com. Hawkeyes will be hosting Milwaukee tomorrow, weather permitting, for a contest under the lights, Dwayne Banks Field, 6:05, first pitch scheduled.
They can't really be dumb enough to fire Darren Erstad, can they?
Their fans were
They lost 2 of 3 on the road. I get that there's sort of a chip on their shoulder when they play Iowa, but they're what, 11-4 in the Big Ten?
This is the second or third year that I recall hearing some rumblings about fans being tired of 17. They refer to him by his uniform number. Guy's a former Major League All-Star who has Nebraska winning more games than it's losing, and you've got to be careful once again about wishing or thinking that the grass is greener on the other side, because it not often is. But I saw a comment yesterday on Twitter, is not always the best place to go to gauge a fan base's feelings on anything. But I saw a Nebraska fan who was upset because Nebraska is in a worse baseball conference than it used to be, and it's mediocre, and now they're getting mediocre results, and this will not stand. This aggression will not stand. And I'm thinking, man, you gotta get a grip here. Take a look at the standings. Take a look at the bigger picture, as I did moments ago, and noticed that Iowa is playing Northwestern in a midweek.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Did you see where they're playing?
Yes, I did.
They're playing at Impact Field in Rosemont, Illinois, home of
Carlos,
the Chicago Dogs.
Zambrano.
Carlos Zambrano's new team. I don't know what to expect from this particular publicity stunt, but it's just going to be interesting to see Carlos Zambrano back on a mound after, I mean, he's been retired for, 5-7 years now, something like that. I think he was down in Miami the last time we saw him in a big league uniform. But and to talk to a friend who's close to the program. Maybe he can bring me back a souvenir from Rosemont in a couple weeks. Iowa, by the way, if you're a college baseball fan, does have UC Irvine coming to Duane Banks Field for a three-game weekend set the weekend of May 3rd. One last Big Ten home series that's on the schedule for May 10th. They will host Michigan State for three games. So time is running out. If you want to see Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes in person, they'll wrap up the regular season May 18th. And then it's off to the Big Ten tournament, which is this year being hosted in Omaha, Nebraska, which is, you and I have talked in the past, there's no better place to host the Big Ten tournament, even though Nebraska is on the western reaches of the conference's footprint. Omaha is a college baseball town, and there aren't too many of those in the Midwest.
No, there are not, and that place is the perfect place to host the Big Ten tournament. Now you have to hope that Nebraska and Iowa are kind of playing deep into that tournament so you can get that kind of attendance every night in and night out. But that UC Irvine series, it's going to be very interesting. That is a very, very good team. I don't believe they're in the top 25 as of now, but they're right on the fringe of it at 25-9. And every chance that Iowa gets to increase their RPI is going to be of utmost importance the rest of the way, because they are squarely on that NCAA tournament, the regional bubble right now. And one loss, one win, either here or there along the way, could push them in or push them out.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side. 449, we need to take a quick timeout. When we return, an interesting walk-off yesterday for the Chicago Cubs. We'll explain why after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
At Merrick, we know dogs are in charge. So our dog foods start with deboned meat, poultry or fish, and Coming!
Here's your ducky.
And because real whole foods are better for your dog, each Merrick recipe is packed with whole fruits and vegetables. Excuse me.
You want to go out right now? Okay.
Dogs are in charge. Serve them well. Merrick.
Now available at PetSmart!
Pros know better quotes start with lower prices, and lower prices start with the Home Depot. Like competitive bulk price savings on thousands of products every day. Pressure-treated fence pickets starting at $1.68 each when you buy in bulk. Plus, with volume pricing, you can save on any order in the store totaling $1,500 or more. Bulk price savings, full job quotes. For better bids, better start with the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through April 28th, see store for details.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer, but sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For all your biggest achievements in life, who's the one person that's always been there, unconditionally supporting every step of the way? It's Mom, your forever biggest fan. This Mother's Day, show her just how much you appreciate the love with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers will give you an exclusive 36 for 36 offer. 36 sorbet roses for just $36. That's only a dollar per rose. With an impressive mix of pastel shades in pink, orange, and lavender, these roses are guaranteed to make her smile. Roses are the perfect way to surprise all the moms in your life or to celebrate any spring occasion. 36 sorbet roses for $36 is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires Friday. Don't put this off. Order today from 1-800-Flowers.com. It's what Mom would want you to do. To order 36 sorbet roses for $36, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Hurry, this fantastic offer ends Friday.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Golic and Wingo are back on the road. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Live from Nashville for the 2019 NFL Draft at the West Club at Nissan Stadium. Thursday and Friday on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Welcome back in. On a Monday, Joe Rivera of the Sporting News is set to join us to kick off the 5 o'clock hour in just about 10 minutes. Plus, we've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill that we're going to put into the hands of one lucky listener between now and 7 o'clock tonight. If you missed anything from today's program, you'll be able to catch up with us later on after the show is over. You can head on over to kgymradio.com and pull up the podcast. You can also, while you're there, vote in today's poll question. Do you believe the reports that the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals, not to get any baseball fans' hopes up out there, do you believe the reports that the Arizona Cardinals are looking away from drafting Kyler Murray? Yes or no? We're going to tackle this topic coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. There seems to be some dissension out there. There's one story that says they're taking Kyler Murray at number one. There's one story that says they moved on from number one. More on that to come in the 5 o'clock hour. As we mentioned going into the break, there was a walk-off victory by the Cubs at Wrigley Field yesterday against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The hero of the contest, after Pedro Strop served up a game-tying home run to Jared Dyson, who I believe that was career home run number 17 for Jared Dyson. He is not a power hitter. Cubs often have a tendency to do that. Remember back in the 2016 World Series, they gave up a home run to a guy who wasn't exactly a big-time home run hitter. Game's tied at one in the top of the ninth. They go to the bottom of the ninth inning, and David Bote shoots a single to the right side, scoring Javier Baez. Cubs win 2-1. Bote rushes for the airport to hop on a plane to go home to Colorado, where his wife is expected, or was expected, to give birth to their third child. I'm really liking David Bote at this point, and I asked Alex earlier today, who's your favorite David Bote? And I asked, actually, the question that I asked him was, if I asked you who your favorite David Bote type player is, would you know what I meant? And you knew exactly what I meant.
A gym rat. A spark plug.
The non-superstar Scrappy. That you're just a fan of.
Right.
You're a fan of the player. They're never going to be in the Hall of Fame. They're never going to be, he may never even be a Major League Baseball All-Star, but he had the walk-off Grand Slam off Ryan Madsen last year against the Nationals, which, by the way, for those of you who have been following along at home, it's been pointed out a number of times by people on Twitter that Bodie's wife is giving birth to their third child roughly 9 months after that moment occurred. Even Anthony Rizzo joked about that in the post game last night. Who's your favorite David Bodie type? This doesn't even have to be a baseball discussion. It could be any sport. 319-366-1600. I'll ask Joe Rivera that when he joins us coming up to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. You had a name that came immediately to mind.
Yeah, there were three of them that kind of jumped into my mind as a Cardinals fan. One, David Eckstein. He was a starter and an all-star at times, but that guy is somebody who got every single ounce of productivity out of the skill set that he was given, which was not a whole lot.
If you say stubby clap, I'm going to throw you out of the studio.
No, stubby clap never really did anything. Skip Schumacher.
The anti-David Bodie.
Skip Schumacher.
Skip Schumacher was a heck of a ball player.
And guy playing for the Chicago Cubs right now, Daniel Descalso, also fits in that category.
I'm here for the David Bodie era. As long as it lasts in Chicago and after that contract extension, it's going to last a while, I think.
We've got NHL Penguins fan saying Max Talbot on the Pittsburgh Penguins in the 2009 Stanley Cup. How about recently, Penguins fan? I'm speaking to you. What about Carl Hagelin? No one's going to understand that except for hockey fans.
Matt on the text line says Derek Dietrich or Scooter Jeanette of the Cincinnati Reds. Derek Dietrich is a good one. He's evolved into a nice little MLB player. He was a high-round draft pick of the Tampa Bay Rays and has found a niche. And 91-36, Bo Hart.
Bo Hart.
That's a David Bodie player if I've ever seen one.
Well, that would ensue that David, that would hint at the fact that David Bodie might not keep it up. Because Bo Hart just...
Fell off the table.
He had his month, and then that was Wiggy, all she wrote.
Wiggy in Iowa City, bringing it around to Hawkeye basketball, Nicholas Bear. Maybe we'll revisit this. I do want to ask Joe Rivera his thoughts when he joins us coming up in just a few minutes. Under 5 minutes, as a matter of fact, so please don't go anywhere. We've still got a $30 gift card to La Cantina. We're going to give that away sometime. I'll tell you what, we'll do it in the 5 o'clock hour, your reward for sticking around. Kyle will be with us again in about 20 minutes. He'll bring you another Big Board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. We've got a lot more ground to cover today, and yes, we are keeping an eye on the updates from the Iowa State Capitol, the Iowa House taking up today legalized sports gambling. No movement on that yet, according to sources. Back with hour number two of the show after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Bills signed running back T.J. Yeldon to a two-year contract. Yeldon played his first four NFL seasons with the Jaguars. The NFL draft starts Thursday night. Wall-to-wall coverage all 3 days from Nashville on ESPN Radio and TV. Over the weekend, the Yankees put outfielder Aaron Judge on the injured list with a strained left oblique. ESPN's Buster Olney says this could be a long-term issue.
He came off the field. They haven't put a timetable on this injury, but this looks like it could be a significant type of oblique strain, a serious oblique strain. You're out 4 to 6 weeks. If it was longer, 6 to 8 weeks, it wouldn't surprise me.
Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast. Judge is the 13th Yankees player on the injured list. NBA playoffs tonight. The Bucks and Rockets both on the road with a chance for first-round sweeps. Milwaukee at Detroit. Houston at Utah. There are already two seventh games set in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. There'll be two more if the Hurricanes and Predators can win tonight. Carolina at home against the Capitals. Nashville on the road against the Stars.
Coming up on Tuesday, we are one day closer to the NFL draft. Are things any clearer for the top quarterback prospects? Plus, one of your final chances to come golf with us at Pinehurst with the Wingo Cup Contest, thanks to Dell Small Business. Golic and Wingo Tuesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Welcome to...
That SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today.
Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Riding a three-game winning streak on the road, Twins continue this two-city road trip with a three-game series in Houston. Hi, this is Corey Provis, a night game coming up on Monday on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:02, welcome back in. Hour number two underway. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's historic main gym, your home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, right here in Cedar Rapids. Stick with us. Coming up in the next 40 minutes, you'll take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill just for being with us this suddenly stormy Monday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Probably a good thing that the Colonels are on the road tonight and not playing at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Speaking of baseball, we promised you some discussion. We will deliver Joe Rivera of the Sporting News joining us once again on the show, one of our favorite national writers stopping by to talk baseball. And I'm going to buck conventional wisdom here, Joe. Normally I would start with the Cubs or the Cardinals or a team that has a really strong following here in Eastern Iowa, but I can't not start with the New York Yankees today. And another injury, Aaron Judge goes to the injured list, 13 players now injured, top five offensive performers from last year's team on the injured list. How are the Yankees staying afloat, or how will they stay afloat? Let's put it that way.
You know, it's a real good question, Todd. It's tough. It's tough to say. You know, when you have guys like Gary Sanchez, obviously Aaron Judge, Troy Tulowitzki, even who was the backup who gets hurt, and they really were pretty thin at that position at shortstop. Those are tough injuries to try and overcome, right? And I think that the Yankees were very, very lucky, we'll put it that way, to have two really good performances recently from Jay Happ and from James Paxton. Obviously, Paxton had back-to-back awesome starts, the first one against the Red Sox and the second one against the Royals. So after he struggled earlier in the year. So I think just as big a story as the injuries was the fact that a lot of these guys that they were relying on haven't been great, and you have to look at first base is part of that, and Luke Voit really hasn't been great. He's hit some home runs, but he hasn't been really the answer at first base. And DJ LeMahieu, who's been excellent for them, and he's pretty much held their offense together this entire season. So I don't know how the Yankees are really doing it. They kind of got lucky beating up on a bad Red Sox team and then beating up on a pretty bad Royals team after that, escaping with the last game of that series after they blew a 5-run lead in the eighth. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch what they are going forward. They have some softer teams. I think they can get through it, but they're going to need better performances all around.
You think Brian Cashman might be pushing the panic button a little bit with the latest news about Aaron Judge?
No, I don't think so. Not yet, at least. You know, I think that, and guys, I've said this before, I actually wasn't a big fan of the Yankees offseason, to be honest with you. I think that they made a mistake really not reinforcing that starting rotation. And I think the biggest head scratcher is letting Gio Gonzalez walk and just letting him leave out of that minor league deal. I think they could really use him at the major league level, but I don't think Cashman's panicking just yet. Gary Sanchez is coming back potentially this week. Aaron Hicks is on the mend. He's taking some swings. Who knows when he'll be back? They're probably talking mid-May right now. Giancarlo Stanton could be on the way back soon. So, and Miguel Andujar should be back soon. He's making great progress by all accounts. So they're gonna get healthy quick. And again, with some of the weaker teams that they're playing over the next few weeks, they're gonna have a chance to really fatten up. But again, they're gonna need to keep pitching. The starting pitching needs to hold up. They're gonna need performances from Paxton and Happ and Sabathia and Tanaka to really keep it going there. I don't think it's panic time for Cashman just yet.
Joe Rivera of the Sporting News joining us to discuss Major League Baseball. How big of a sigh of relief are they breathing in Flushing today with the news that the MRI on Jacob DeGrom's elbow came back clean?
You know, I think they're really relieved, especially when you consider the last time that a non-MRI happened with Noah Syndergaard. He ended up hitting the shelf for a better part of the year, and they were smart to get the MRI done for DeGrom just to be safe. But yeah, I think that's a big sigh of relief for them. The rotation's been a little bit inconsistent this year. Wheeler got off to a rough start. He's pitched better as of late. Jason Vargas had a decent start on Saturday. They're going to need a lot more from him. But yeah, I think the Mets go as far as the starting pitching will take them, and that obviously starts with Jacob DeGrom. He's been dealing with some inconsistencies. His last few times out, we saw him get bombed, which was very un-DeGrom-like. And then his last start, he gave up the long ball a few times too. So I think the Mets are a good team. I think they're a deep team. I think that Brody Van Wagenen did a really good job of building depth on that team this offseason. But again, I think they'll only go as far as their starting pitching will take them, and they're going to need Jacob DeGrom to be the ace at the top of that rotation, especially in a pretty tough division right now.
Let's get to the news of the last week, and that's the Tim Anderson situation, the Kansas City Royals retaliating after a bat flip. I know you wrote about this at the Sporting News. Is baseball right now in an unhappy medium between let the kids play and old school unwritten rules?
You know, I think that, and as you mentioned, I did write about this today. I think when you have 750 guys across Major League Baseball, you're not going to expect 300 pitchers, whatever the number may be, 250 pitchers to all be happy when a guy flips a bat. I just think that's unfair to ask. These are all human beings at the end of the day. They get caught up in the heat of the moment. So, yeah, I do think it's silly, especially to throw at a guy and put his health at risk. You never know. Sometimes a pitch can get away from you. You have a Giancarlo Stanton incident. The guy getting hit in the head and the face, and that's something that you really just don't want to see. And not to say that pitchers are going to be throwing at guys' heads, but at the same time, it's unfair to expect pitchers to take it all, in stride. At the same time, I don't think so. I think that we're certainly seeing a change. I think that pitchers are actually the ones that have been showing a little bit more emotion on the mound. They're not afraid to pump their fist. They're not afraid to do a little moonwalk off the mound. The strikeout strut we've seen is becoming a bigger and bigger thing when guys are really feeling it. So I think Major League Baseball, it's not to get confused with the reason that Tim Anderson got suspended, because he wasn't suspended for the flip. He was suspended for what he said on the field, which is a whole different can of worms. And I said that's left for people in society and writers that are much smarter than I to try and discuss that and the word that he used. But I do think that Major League Baseball has done a good job of trying to promote that flashier, edgier side of the game. And I think that it started with that tweet that they sent out after Anderson flipped his bat and they threw his support around him then. And I think that that's kind of reflective of what Major League Baseball values now. And that's trying to connect with the fan and trying to connect with the modern day player.
Well, they may have another flashy player to promote sooner rather than later. It sounds like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could be making his Major League debut early this week. How excited are you to see him in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform, especially given the way that his service time has been manipulated here, whereas the Padres, they come right out of the gate with Chris Paddock, Fernando Tatis Jr., trying to send a message to baseball that maybe it's time to change their way of thinking. The Blue Jays taking this Chris Bryant approach with Vladimir Guerrero, but it sounds like he's done marinating in the minors.
Yeah, I think anytime you have a guy that's hitting over 400, I think he's ready at the Triple-A level, right? And it's not a triple. It's not just a triple either. He's hit everywhere he's been in the minor leagues. His minor league average is over 320, I want to say. It might be closer to 350. I mean, he's hit home runs everywhere he's been. So the power is legit. He's a legit player. He's a legit all-around prospect. There's a reason that he's one of the most highly touted prospects in Major League Baseball, right? So I am more excited for that than I am for the new Avengers movie coming out this weekend. I'm more excited for that than to see the new Star Wars movie come out at the end of the year, to be honest with you. I mean, the level of talent, young talent across Major League Baseball right now is unbelievable. And I really think that going back to that last segment, kind of, Major League Baseball needing to promote these guys a little bit more and making sure they're making national headlines, and Major League Baseball is helping them with that. I think Vlad is next in line. Obviously, I think he has the benefit, his father being a Hall of Famer, his father being that really exciting player in the prime of his career. And I think whenever you have those comparisons and you see even their swings are so identical, and you have that bloodline in you. I think that that does wonders for a fan base who want to get a little nostalgic, kind of seeing Vlad again, but he could even be better than his dad, which is a scary thought. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what this kid does, and it's about time. I think Toronto needs it. And I think they're building it the right way north of the border, and I think that he's going to make a major, major impact this year. Maybe he's not going to push them to a lot of wins. I don't think that's still a pretty flawed team, but he's definitely going to make Toronto a force in years to come.
We've seen no shortage of good prospects coming to the major leagues over the past 5 to 10 years, but the last 2 years where you get Ronald Acuna and Eloy Jimenez and Fernando Tatis and Vlad Guerrero, does it seem like we've seen more like of those generational type talents the past couple of years than we had in a while?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that a lot of it at the height of the game, you're looking at like the early 2000s, the late 90s when, you know, during the height of the steroid era, there was just a lot of veteran players who were kind of refinding it, right? There wasn't a lot of guys that were kind of coming up and being those young stars. And I think part of it, too, were managers' unwillingness to maybe play those younger kids for a really long time, kind of relying on the older veteran guys to try and get something done. But now when you're seeing guys go through the minors and you're seeing guys hit 300 in the minor leagues, hitting 350 with 20 home runs at AAA, I think that that's such a great thing for baseball, and it speaks to front offices not being afraid to bring these guys up. They're obviously cheaper. We all know that the labor situation that's happening with Major League Baseball. And I think that front offices are just more than willing to bring these guys up. So, yeah, it really is something to behold. It's something special, especially when you look at, you know, Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa when they came up, and Alex Bregman when he came up. Aaron Judge might have been a little older, but he lit the world on fire when he came up. Gary Sanchez, I mean, this is up and down Major League Baseball, and every team pretty much has a star that they can rely on now, and that's a great thing for the sport moving forward.
The Sporting News is Joe Rivera with us on the Major League Baseball beat here on the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Let's get to the Chicago Cubs, a nice win yesterday, walk-off style with David Bote. Is it time for Cubs fans to be a little concerned about the slow start for Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant?
I think Rizzo's had these starts in the past. Bryant, I think, is a little bit more concerned. He's dealt with injuries. We know what he dealt with last year and the year before. I don't know. It's still a little bit early, guys. I think you kind of have to wait until Memorial Day. And you never know. I mean, a guy like Chris Bryant, he's an MVP caliber player, and you know he's just going to figure it out at some point. The same with Anthony Rizzo. These guys are just two quality hitters in a lineup that's full of quality hitters right now. I know that their offense has been a little bit inconsistent over the last week or so, but I trust them to figure it out. I just don't think that they're going to go the whole season like this. That's tough for me to imagine. Just seeing their track record, their resume, the way that they've hit in the past, I just don't see that. I wouldn't be panicking yet.
The Cubs offense, we know about their track record. We know about how good the Brewers offense is. About the St. Louis Cardinals, is this offense started coming together now with Paul Goldschmidt in the middle of that lineup, Paul DeJong hitting, Marcelo Ozuna hitting? It just seems like such a more balanced lineup than it has been the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I think the big acquisition, obviously, is Paul Goldschmidt. Anytime you can bring in an MVP-caliber player, at least MVP-offensively-caliber player, you go and do it. And they gave up not really a lot to get him, too. So, yeah, I think that this is what the Cardinals are going to be. I really think that they're an underrated team in the NL. I think they're going to make a push for the division, if not definitely for a wild card spot. Really depends if the pitching holds up. I think that's the biggest question mark. Michael Waka hitting the DL, the IL, I'm sorry, I should say now. So that's going to be another blow for them to try and get through. But, yeah, I do like the Cardinals. They beat up on the Mets a little bit over the weekend. They're starting to put runs up. You're starting to see a little bit more consistency out of the offense. And when DeJong is hitting, and everybody else in that lineup is hitting, they can go. They can match with the best of them. So this shouldn't be a surprise to any.
We're closing in on a month into the season so far. Which team has been the biggest surprise to you so far?
Ooh, good question. I have to, and I put the Twins a little bit low on my power rankings last week when they came out. I'm pretty surprised with the Twins right now. I think their offense, they had, last they checked this morning, they had 9 guys with an OPS plus of 100 or better. So that pretty much tells you that everybody in that lineup is hitting, and they're hitting for power, which is something special. That's something to behold. Yeah, it's still early. But I think that anytime you have guys, you know, Max Kepler's had a really good season to this point. Byron Buxton is, it looks like he's finally reaching that top prospect billing. They've been a real big surprise to me so far. I think that the Twins, a lot like every pretty much every other team in Major League Baseball, will only get as far as your starting pitching will take them. Jose Berrios is knocking on the door to reach that next level, to be that star. But outside of Berrios, I really don't trust Michael Pineda that much. I really don't trust Kyle Gibson. Jake Odorizzi is probably going to revert to being about league average, which is what he's been his entire career. So that rotation is still pretty scary. But the fact that the Twins got off to a pretty fast start at the top of the AL Central, one of the best offensive teams in Major League Baseball, that's pretty surprising to me to this point.
Now, this may sound ridiculous asking about a team that won 90 games last year, but are the Tampa Bay Rays, do you expect them to be there in the end competing for an AL East title?
I really do, and I think seeing Austin Meadows go down, that's going to hurt them a little bit, and Tommy Pham's cool off just a bit from the start of the season. But, yeah, I do. I love the Rays offseason. I really think they had one for the ages. They didn't have to do much. You bring in Charlie Morton, which I think was a really good move for them, and you kind of hope the rest the chips fall as they may. When you have a full season of Austin Meadows, who's finally getting consistent at bats, and you have a full season of Tommy Pham, I think that helps a lot. At some point too, they're going to get back Brent Honeywell, who's one of their top prospects, and he's probably going to make an impact at the major league level too. And I'm in love with this kid. I mean, not to overstate it, but when I saw him pitch, especially coming up, he's got electric stuff. His fastball sits in the high 90s. He's blowing people away, nasty breaking pitches. So he's going to be another in this line of Rays starting pitching who comes up and they really make a lot of noise. And when they get Snell back, they're going to be even more dangerous. So, yeah, I do like the Rays a lot, especially if they can keep kind of taking advantage of this weak division. I know they got swept by the Red Sox, but good teams are allowed to get swept. It's allowed to happen. So I do like the Rays a lot. If they're not competing in the AL East, they're definitely going to be competing for a wild card.
Joe, there's been a lot of discussion about how many balls are leaving the yard so far this season. Some people seem to believe this spike in home runs is a problem for Major League Baseball. Others say, hey, home runs are good. Let's not argue about this. Where do you come down on this?
You know, home runs are good for the game. I think when you the problem that you have is when teams are home run or nothing. I think that makes for a worse product, right? I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with seeing the amount of home runs. I do think there's a problem when you start talking to pitchers and saying, hey, what's the deal here? And they're not happy that the fact that the ball is wound tighter or whatever it may be. I know that Major League Baseball put out that report last year saying essentially it's margin for error. You know, it's mechanical things at the factories, at the warehouses where these balls are kind of getting wound a little bit different. But that's not on us. That's just the way that the machines work, you know, whatever they said about it. It's a lot of hogwash to me. I think they know what they're doing. I think the problem is going to happen when major league pitchers start talking up a little bit more and they start talking about the seams of the baseball and they start talking about why balls are flying out of the yard. But as a fan, as someone who covers it, I don't really have a problem with home runs. There's no such thing as too many home runs, I don't think. I think the problem is when you have guys that are swinging for the fences and missing and striking out, you know, 16 times a game. That's not great for baseball. But the home runs, yeah, give me more. I'm always willing to see a long ball.
Last question before we part ways with you, and it's one of my favorite ones to throw out to national guys, but who's the best player in baseball right now that nobody knows about or nobody's talking about? A guy whose maybe performance is flying under the radar.
You know, for me, it's got to be Matt Chapman. You know, he plays down on the West Coast. He's already worth 1.5 wins this year if you buy into wins above replacement. Over the course of a full season, that's about a 10-win season. He's an elite defensive player. He was one of the best players in Major League Baseball last year. He had an eight-win season last year, if you believe in WAR. And I know that the A's haven't gotten off to the start that they wanted. I think the pitching is a little bit of an issue there, but I love Chapman top to bottom. He's probably the top five most well-rounded player in Major League Baseball, both offensively and defensively. And if he continues to swing the bat like he has this year, he's got an OPS over 900. He's going to be an MVP discussion when it's all said and done. I love this guy. I think he's one of the best in Major League Baseball right now and over the last year too. And he just hasn't gotten the love and the recognition he deserves just yet.
That's a great answer. I like Ramon Laureano, his teammate out there, kind of reminding Ellis Valentine or Ichiro Suzuki in the outfield with that arm that he's throwing around there. Joe Rivera, SN on Twitter. Joe, we appreciate the time, as always.
Todd, Alex, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
The A's, West Coast baseball. Why not? I've been a big Chapman fan for the last year and a half. I've got him on a couple of my fantasy teams. Ramon Laureano's a tremendous defensive player who has made some highlight reel plays that nobody has probably seen this year unless you're on social media or you're a night owl like I used to be.
At least some people are catching on to Chris Davis.
Which Chris Davis? You're talking about, yes,
K-H-R-I-S.
Chris with a K. Although Chris Davis of the Orioles has begun, well, I won't say he's heating up. He actually pitched last week in a game I saw and didn't look all that bad.
I was going to say, I bet, what was he sitting, 80, 85?
He had some, if you follow Rob Friedman on Twitter, the pitching ninja, he had one of the gifts of Chris Davis on the mound for the Orioles. That's a team that hasn't necessarily surprised out of the gate. They're running into some injury issues as well. Always love getting the perspective of the national baseball writers, and Joe is one of our favorites. Again, give him a follow on Twitter at Joe Rivera SN. We will have Major League Baseball for you tonight. If you listen to us on 107.5 FM, that is our North Gym frequency here in Cedar Rapids. The Minnesota Twins are in the Lone Star State, deep in the heart of Texas, to take on the Houston Astros. It's one of my favorite things about my trip to Minute Maid Park a couple years ago, the seventh inning stretch, when in addition to singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, they stand up and sing Deep in the Heart of Texas. All 8,000 people who were at the ballpark that night for the exhibition game. This is before the Astros got really good, when Carlos Correa and some of their other players were still down in the Class A ball ranks. And that's all we're talking about, songs sung at ballparks and Kate Smith and any of that today on the program today. 5:23, that we got enough of that on the ESPN National broadcast, although perhaps we'll revisit or visit the topic of living inside an echo chamber before 7 o'clock tonight. I don't know. Don't know whether I feel like dipping my toe in that particular swamp water or not. We said we were going to reward you with a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill for sticking with us here in the 5 o'clock hour, and we are within the next 20 minutes. Stick around. LaCantina319.com is the website. You can check it out before you go. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you, and we're going to tackle some more topics of the day, including putting a wrap on Iowa State's spring football practices when we return after this.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and wheat-thin grass. But Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scotts.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a bag of Scotts Triple Action today.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the "how can we help you" feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in to sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany. I work with John Rodriguez. I've worked with numerous people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh my goodness. I put them in top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in Eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Many mammals and birds include the expansive grassland of Target Field along their migratory path. In April, this ecosystem attracts animal activity from deadly predators such as the Detroit tiger to songbirds like the Toronto blue jay. No stranger to this adversity, the Twins fan comes prepared with several layers of clothing and, of course, a plaid flat cap. On April 27th, the elusive Baltimore Oriole will pay its visit, and the first 10,000 fans will receive a plaid flap cap, courtesy of Pepsi.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit. Straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
Change the future of your team.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
5:28, welcome back in. It is a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, getting ready for Thursday's first round of the NFL Draft. What will the Cardinals do with that number one overall pick? There seems to be some misdirection going on right now. We'll tackle that topic coming up in the next 35 minutes. It's also the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Putting the wraps on Iowa State spring football coming up in just a few seconds. We will do so after we wrap up another Big Board update. Kyle Mann is going to bring it to you. It's presented by Alexander Lumber. Check out their new temporary location in Iowa City. They're getting ready to open a new permanent location, and we'll have more details about what Alexander Lumber can do for you throughout tonight's program. Here's Kyle.
It was a big statement weekend for the Iowa baseball team, taking two of three games from a Nebraska team that came to Iowa City leading the Big Ten and ranked 30th in the country. Zeb Adrian delivered a walk-off victory in Game 1 on Friday, and Ben Norman and Isaiah Fullard each homered in a wild 17-9 victory in Game 2, in which eight different Hawkeyes knocked in a run. Iowa came up short in Game 3, but already clinched its fourth consecutive Big Ten series win to move into fourth place, just a game and a half out of first. Milwaukee comes to town for a game tomorrow at 6. It was a weekend for the record books for the Iowa golf team. They broke the program 18-hole record with the first round 262 at the Hawkeye Invitational, and by the time the Hawkeyes won the whole thing on Sunday, they'd beaten the 54-hole record by 24 strokes. Matthew Walker and Alex Shockey led the way, sharing co-medalist honors at the top. The Rough Riders split a pair of games in the Western Conference Finals of the USHL playoffs over the weekend, so they and the Chicago Steel return to Cedar Rapids for games 3 and 4 tomorrow and Wednesday. The Colonels fell just short of sweeping Beloit with a loss on Saturday, but the Colonels are up in Wisconsin tonight to start a seven-game road trip. First pitch set for 6:35. Tonight after the show, we'll pick up the first-place Twins just in time for first pitch from Houston. First pitch is set for 7:10, and you can hear it on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. We actually got some traction with asking the David Bodie question at the end of the first hour. Who's your favorite David Bodie? It doesn't necessarily need to be baseball, but that player, that unheralded, he's not a superstar, but a guy who just seems to come through.
You Robert Horry.
Can't help but embrace them. Robert Ori. For a minute there, I thought you said Kevin Ori, who was a third base prospect for the Cubs many, many years ago. Robert Ori has how many NBA championship rings?
Is it 8?
And that I remember he came up, I think, I'm using my baseball terminology. He debuted in the NBA, I think, with the Houston Rockets, right, Robert Ori? And then became sort of a journeyman. You wanted him on your roster.
7 NBA champions.
7 NBA championship titles for Robert Ori. 366-1600 if you want to continue with that topic on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. By the way, a big thank you, I should say, to Joe Rivera for joining us on the program. 1169, Joe Creedy.
There we go.
Former White Sox.
I just can't.
Getting some love.
I hear this sound in my head every once in a while, and it's my trip to Comiskey Park when it was still called Comiskey Park, and Gene Honda announcing Joe Creedy coming to the plate. Joe Creedy.
I don't geek out all that often. You saw me do it at Big Ten Media Days a couple years ago when Gene Honda walked by. And
you were like,
I was this close, to asking Gene Honda to get a picture, and I did not. I think Matt Weitzel was one of the sports information directors at the University of Iowa. I think he's maybe snuck a selfie with Gene Honda and the Blackhawks Stanley Cup ring. I could be wrong on that. Let's talk a little spring football, though. The Hawkeyes have a big media availability tomorrow with the coordinators set to discuss spring football. Brian Ferentz and Joe that was a combination of Joe Philbin and Phil Parker. I don't know where that came from. I don't want to tell you about my weekend. My son has been under the weather, and my sleep pattern has been a little disrupted, to say the least, but I don't want to use that as an excuse. My point is, we're going to get plenty more Hawkeye football discussion tomorrow on the show. But Iowa State wrapped things up over the weekend. They're done now. The Cyclone Spring is in the books. And Iowa State fans, I want to hear from you. What are your takeaways from listening to, everybody does takeaways now in this business, whether you're a writer or whether you're a talker. Everybody, my 3 takeaways from this, my 5 takeaways from this. It's lazy, and I'm a lazy individual. I'm not above admitting that. What are your takeaways, Iowa State fans, from hearing Matt Campbell discussing spring football in Ames? 319-366-1600. I saw the Ames Tribune piece earlier today talking about a jigsaw puzzle that needs to be put together. I think that's a good way to look at a lot of football teams during the spring, because you know what the pieces look like. You're just not quite sure where some of them fit in.
I still think that there's a theme with this program and how high their potential is. And they've done a remarkable job the last 2 years of winning games despite a clear flaw on offense, and that's the offensive line. And that, to me, before anything else, before trying to replace David Montgomery, before trying to replace Hakeem Butler, before trying to figure out who is going to replace some of those seniors on the defensive side of the football, the offensive line has to be better, and it has to be at least Big 12 average for them to take that next step, to be a 9, a 10-win team in that conference. And that's what's been holding them back. Especially offensively, you have to keep Brock Purdy upright. You have to find a way to get some more holes for the running backs, because David Montgomery is not there anymore. And I know there's a lot of buzz about the guys that they brought in, the 2 freshmen. That offensive line, another year older. It's the same guys. And if you want, experience is so important with that unit, but they have to prove that they're Big 12 caliber. They have to prove that they can block at least half of the Big 12 teams. That was just a huge problem for them. And like I said, Matt Campbell's ability to work around that has been nothing short of remarkable the past couple of years.
The obvious question, and again, I'm lazy. The obvious question here is who replaces David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler in Iowa State's offense? And I don't know if there's an obvious answer there. The obvious answer is nobody replaces a player of those caliber, just as nobody will replace T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant in Iowa City. Somebody will be on the field at that position, but you're not replacing the production, the veteran leadership that those guys were able to bring. Major losses across the board for Iowa and Iowa State, but for Iowa State in particular, because this is still trending upward. The rebuild is still trending upward for Matt Campbell. So this is, to me, a critical juncture for the program, because the departure of Montgomery, the departure of Butler, do they have enough depth there where they can sustain losing those two players?
It was interesting when David Montgomery was a freshman, he came in, he replaced Mike Warren, who I think had 1,300 yards the previous year, and he proved right away that he was one of the better running backs in the Big 12. And I'm not saying that Jarrell Brock or Breece Hall are going to easily step in and do that, but I trust Matt Campbell pretty more than a lot of other coaches in college football to recruit and bring in really good running backs. He has shown the ability to do that in the past, going back to his days at Toledo. I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of issues finding another stable of running backs to be productive. The receiver position, yeah, you lose a guy like Hakeem Butler, somebody that big and with that ability to break off a big play, you're going to wonder who's going to replace him. But they have the quarterback in place. That's the important thing here. They have the guy that they want to build their team around, that they want to recruit offensive players to build around him in place for at least the next 2 years. So if you're all of these question marks are, you can sleep a little bit easier at night if you're Matt Campbell or Tom Manning, knowing that Brock Purdy is there and there to stay for the next couple years.
You brought up Mike Warren. That was a precipitous fall from grace for him. I mean, a guy who
was
so talked about. And then the next thing you know, hey, David Montgomery is on the scene. And no worries there moving forward. The offensive line, I think the key to rebuilding any program at Iowa or Iowa State is what you've got on the offensive line. Iowa State's got some veteran players on the offensive line. I think they just are veteran players that more will be expected of them in 2019.
Right. They're veteran players, but they're veteran players that have not been overly effective. And that's sort of that's the concern with that unit. I know a lot of people who break down film of Iowa State talk about the fact that on most running plays, an interior lineman was pushed 2 or 3 yards in the backfield. Imagine how hard it is to run the football with that being the case. Your interior line is the heartbeat of your offense, and when somebody is constantly pushing into your quarterback's lap or pushing into your running back's lap, it makes it very difficult. So that's where I hear people saying, okay, well, they've improved. I heard people saying that they improved last year. I didn't see a lot of improvement from them from the beginning to the end of the season. I saw a quarterback in there who could run, who made them look better, who created more space sideline to sideline, but I didn't see an offensive line that improved. Can they take a step forward? Because if they want to get over that 8-win plateau and really contend the Big 12, what cost them in the Texas game last year? What cost them in the games that they lost last year? And especially Texas, why have they not been able to really even be competitive with Texas over the past 3 seasons?
The officials?
Because they got whooped up front.
Oh.
In all 3 games. Texas was bigger, stronger, and more athletic than them up front.
So you're talking about how great Texas is, and we've got the Astros for like 20 straight games in a row. I swear we're programming KGYM specifically to the interests of BJ and Marion at this point. The interesting comment that I took away from Dylan Monson's story at the Ames Tribune, and I think Dylan must have as well because it was the kicker in his article, the last quote that he used. Matt Campbell sounds as if he's letting the players sort of dictate the direction of the summer workouts and going into the fall, and he's looking for that next group of leaders to emerge on this team. And I think leadership is always something that comes about organically. I don't think you can just look at somebody and hand them a C and put it on the uniform and say, "Captain." And the quote is, it's the player-driven leadership that's in our program right now and giving them the reins to take this football team and say, hey, the keys are yours now. For the next 8 to 10 weeks, who we become is what you're willing to put into it. I think our kids know that, and I'm excited to go watch them continue to take hold of what they've started. Your thoughts on Iowa State football, 319-366-1600. Reach out to us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Iowa State wrapping up its spring practices, the 15 practice period allotted by the NCAA. Iowa will do so this week. Again, Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker set to speak to the media tomorrow. We will not hear from any Iowa players. And then 5:30 on Friday, it's the final practice. It's not open to the public. It is open to members of the media and immediate family members of the Iowa players. We will, of course, have somebody on with us, hopefully, from that practice on Friday's program. It will not be Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. We wrapped up the big hour on Friday with Rob. A big tip of the cap to him as far as appreciation for joining us throughout the basketball and football season goes. And maybe there's just not a whole lot to say at this point about Iowa State football. I'm not seeing anything on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. And
it's
that,
really hard without a spring game, isn't it?
It really, and maybe that underscores where we're at this point, because Iowa doesn't have a spring football game. Iowa State doesn't have a spring football game. UNI doesn't have a spring football. You can't, there's nothing to see here. Literally, there's nothing to see. We don't know anything other than what we get through other media outlets. And that makes it very difficult, I think, to have these types of discussions. If you're an Iowa State fan, are you not sick and tired of talking about who replaces David Montgomery and who replaces Hakeem Butler? Maybe you're more focused on where those two guys are going to go Thursday or Friday. I don't pretend to speak for you, the Iowa State fan. That's why we would love to hear from you, the Iowa State fan. 366-1600, because when we don't, then we talk about Iowa. And you don't want that, do you? Because we hear from the Iowa fans. 366-1600. I'm probably hearing from an Iowa fan right now on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. What do you think?
You ever look at the text line and you see something that's so incredible, but you can't say it on the air? Like, this is hilarious, and it makes you spit out your drink if you are currently drinking a glass of water or something, but you just can't say it on the air.
I'm assuming this is something in reference to 3530.
Yeah,
he's sort
it
of
is.
The class clown on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line.
Yes. So I will just underscore this. You asked who is your favorite David Bodie-like player, and he definitely put a person out there, not an athlete, but instead an adult film actor.
Well, we'll just let his entire body of work on the text line speak for itself. 544, as we mentioned, we've got Twins baseball coming up tonight as they take on the Houston Astros down in Houston. Twins playing pretty good baseball. I know we touched on that with Joe Rivera from the Sporting News. Mitch Garver, former Cedar Rapids Colonels catcher, is having a little bit of a breakout season. We touched on this a little bit with Joe. And do you think there's something to this idea that the baseballs are a little more juiced this year?
I've been hearing this for...
You look at what Christian Yelich has done out of the gate, and you say, well, granted, yeah, he's faced Cardinals pitching, so he's teeing off, no big deal. But all across baseball, Mitch Garver's, I think, got 5 home runs already, or something along those lines. Guys are on quite a pace. Wilson Contreras, if you want to throw out a member of the Chicago Cubs, who's off to a pretty solid home run pace at this point in the season. I'm starting to think that there's a little something to this idea that maybe the balls are wound a little bit tighter this season.
Yeah,
Major League Baseball always tries to remain mum on these matters, but the offensive explosion is, and that's what I don't quite get. Maybe as Joe hinted at, it's that guys are just taking that all-out swing for the fences approach to hitting right now. This is something that's actually trickled down to the AAA ranks because the AAA baseballs are now made by the same manufacturer. They're now made in the same factory and made with the same materials as Major League Baseballs are, which was traditionally not the case. Minor League Baseballs are made in, I believe the Minor League Baseballs were made in China and Major League Baseballs are made in Costa Rica. And so now AAA is using the exact same baseball as Major League, as the majors. They still have the league stamps on them, but for consistency's sake, for players coming from AAA to the major leagues, it's the exact same baseball. And lo and behold, in AAA, and not just the Pacific Coast League, where home run numbers are always a little crazy because of those West Coast teams that play at altitude, home run numbers in AAA are up across the board, leading many to believe that, yes, there's something going on with these baseballs, and they can't quite put their finger on it.
I feel like this discussion has been happening for like 5 years now. Are the baseballs juiced? Yeah, probably.
The home run.
Most likely.
The home run numbers have been trending upward for.
Yes, they have.
The better part of a decade, as have strikeouts. But I think this is a good thing for baseball to a certain extent. I don't want your Punch and Judy banjo hitters like Jared Dyson coming up and popping home runs all the time, let alone off Pedro Strop yesterday in the ninth inning. Still a little, I got to be honest with you. I was just getting ready to tweet out something positive about Pedro Strop pitching the ninth inning last. It was 1-0. Tyler Chatwood pitched a beautiful ball game in line for the victory. Strop gets a lot of negative run from some fans, even though he's been one of the best relievers historically in Cubs history. This guy has been fantastic, and the Cubs got both him and Jake Arrieta in just an absolutely nothing deal several years ago. It's one of the best trades in team history, and Strop is still there doing his thing. And I'm thinking, man, you know, you can hate on Pedro Strop all you want. I still like this guy. I think this guy's. And then the next thing you know, I'm looking up from my phone in my hand, and the ball game is tied at one, and Dyson's running around second base. I'm thinking, okay, good thing I did not hit send on that. And then David Bodie walks it off.
It's funny because I had a similar moment this weekend with a Cardinals player. Can you guess which Cardinals player it was?
A Cardinals
similar
moment?
I'll give you a hint. He used to play for the Cubs.
Dexter Fowler.
He's been hitting lately. And
he has.
He roped an RBI double. And in the very next inning, Noah Syndergaard hit a routine fly ball to the outfield. It hit off of Dexter's glove and bounced into the left field bleachers.
Yeah, I saw that. It's an unfortunate.
I was about to be like, man, Dexter Fowler is really starting to come around and play well. And then, yeah.
Still love you, Dex. Dex, you go, we go. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a quick timeout. We will be back with more after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Member FDIC.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save big money on energy-efficient solutions. Control your home's temperature with Honeywell thermostats. Choose from a great selection that helps you save on your energy bills. A thermostat with a digital display is just $14.99. A 7-day programmable thermostat is only $39.99. Get these and other great savings during Menards' Spring Catalog Sale, now through May 5th. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Mother's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime means yard work and lots of it. So when it's time to replace the battery in your riding lawnmower or tractor, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. The professional parts people will help you find just the right Superstart lawn and garden battery to make sure your mower starts over and over again. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotels,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Golic and Wingo are back on the road. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Live from Nashville for the 2019 NFL Draft at the West Club at Nissan Stadium. Thursday and Friday on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels are on the road, but that does not mean you can't be thinking about taking in a Colonels game at Veterans Memorial Stadium all this week. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes have family four-packs of tickets to see the Colonels in action this summer at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Just tune in to the gym class every day, Monday through Friday, right here on KGYM, as Scott and Mark take you from 3 until 4 leading into this program. Your next chance to take home those Colonels tickets tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Speaking of winning, give us a call right now at 319-366-1600. And you, if you are caller number 6, will be rewarded with a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. You can use that at any of their 3 corridor locations. The one in Marion, the one in downtown Cedar Rapids, or the one in the Fountains off Edgewood. La Cantina has 2 party rooms, which are perfect for upcoming graduation parties. It is graduation party season. Keep them in mind and get more details by visiting their website, LaCantina319.com. And by the way, If you're looking for work, all three La Cantina locations currently hiring. It is the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you till 7 o'clock tonight on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North gyms, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. What's going on in the NBA playoffs? Celtics, I know, swept the Pacers and are starting to look like the Celtics team that everybody expected to see throughout the season. And some intrigue in another Eastern Conference series.
Well, the Bucks are about to sweep the Pistons. I've been watching mostly the Western Conference series, and guess what?
You're not up on the 76ers and the Nets?
I knew that would be somewhat of an intriguing series as far as whether or not the 76ers would be able to put away the Nets. They're up 3-1 in that series, but the Oklahoma City Thunder are falling apart again.
It says nothing to do with Russell Westbrook not talking to the media, does it?
I just don't think that Russell Westbrook can be the guy on a team that makes a run in the playoffs. He's too inefficient. He's too streaky shooting the ball. He tires out in a 7-game series because he uses his energy way too early on. He doesn't pace himself. Paul George isn't playing well. I get that. I know that Oklahoma City was so desperate to stay relevant and they wanted to keep him. He's a very good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a very talented player. I just don't think he's one of those superstars that can carry his team deep in the playoffs. He can get you to the playoffs, but he just can't get you very far in the playoffs. And they've been outclassed by the Portland Trail Blazers in 3 of the 4 games, and it really hasn't been all that close.
The Rockets also looking for a sweep of the Jazz, so things are coming to a little bit of a head tonight with the NBA postseason. The Bucks and Pistons, as you mentioned, another series on the verge of being finished up. That is a 7 o'clock start time this evening. The Rockets and the Jazz, 9:30. The Stanley Cup playoffs continuing on. You're a happy camper. The Blues.
I am.
Are advancing.
I
have advanced.
They
I
have advanced.
Say.
They advanced on Saturday with a 3-2 victory over Winnipeg. Jaden Schwartz broke out of his slump and had a natural hat trick to push the Blues in the second round. Now they just wait to see who wins that Nashville and Dallas series, which is getting underway tonight at 7:30. That's game 6. I think a lot of Blues fans are rooting for Nashville tonight and in the series, but definitely tonight to force a game 7 to tire both teams out heading into that next series. But yes, a fun playoff so far with both number 1 seeds being eliminated from each conference.
Dallas hosting Nashville tonight. As you mentioned, Dallas a heavy favorite on the money line, -136. Get used to hearing some of that language as the Iowa Senate has passed a bill legalizing sports gambling in the state of Iowa that is now being taken up by the Iowa House. Still see no movement on that today, so perhaps tomorrow we'll have resolution on this. You heard Chris Earle of TV9 earlier today saying once that bill goes to Governor Kim Reynolds, she'll have 3 days to sign it. Washington and Carolina are about to get underway tonight in their game as well. What's up with the number 1 pick in the NFL draft on Thursday? We discuss next.
KQIM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Yo, Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Bills signed running back T.J. Yeldon to a 2-year contract. He'll join veterans Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy in the Buffalo backfield. Yeldon spent his first 4 years in Jacksonville, but didn't play much in the second half of last season for the Jaguars. In the NBA playoffs tonight, the Bucks and Rockets will try to finish off first-round sweeps on the road. Milwaukee plays the Pistons in Detroit. Houston plays the Jazz in Salt Lake City. The NBA may have an increasing player behavior problem. So says Ethan Strauss of The Athletic.
But we can have a few villains, right? They can have a few guys who are sort of jerks, and they can play that role. They can be the heel in wrestling for the league. But you can't have dozens of them.
Ethan Strauss on ESPN Radio's Into the Night. The most outstanding player in the Final Four, Virginia guard Kyle Guy, will skip his senior season and stay in the NBA draft. He scored 24 points against Texas Tech in the title game. From baseball, the MRI on Jacob deGrom's right elbow came back clean. He'll be ready for a start when he comes off the injured list later this week. Red Sox right-hander Nathan Eovaldi will have surgery Thursday to remove loose cartilage in his elbow. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. The Rockies put lefty Kyle Freeland on the injured list with a blister on his left middle finger. Coverage just getting underway on ESPN, the Phillies and Mets in New York. Stanley Cup playoffs, Capitals and Hurricanes Game 6. Predators and Stars Game 6 tonight in Dallas.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Game 5 of the Nets and Sixers, followed by Game 5 of the Thunder and Blazers. Coverage begins tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
O'Reilly Auto Parts offers O-Rewards points in-store and online. Earn points on everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories. And for every 150 points collected, you'll get a $5 reward. Earn points any way you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Riding a three-game winning streak on the road, Twins continue this two-city road trip with a three-game series in Houston. Hi, this is Corey Provis. A night game coming up on Monday on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented every Monday by Randy's Flooring. Proud to partner with the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. You can get more details on that partnership and how you can help at randysflooring.com. Check out their locations in Cedar Rapids and in Coralville. On the Coralville Strip, Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Lots to come here in the final 50 minutes of the program, give or take. And you can weigh in using the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line 319-366-1600. We've covered a lot of ground so far earlier today. We've even given away a $30 gift card to La Cantina, Ryan in Marion. I have a feeling I know which one of La Cantina's three locations Ryan will be using that $30 gift card at. Most likely the one in Marion. LaCantina319.com, the website. You can learn more about their three locations, and you can tune in again tomorrow. We'll have another one of those gift cards for you. Coming up on Thursday's program, we're getting into the muck. Of sports talk radio in Eastern Iowa right now as spring football is winding down. The Hawkeyes are not having a spring game this year, so all we have to go on is what the coordinators will tell us tomorrow in a media availability. And then after that, and the NFL draft is done, well, your guess is as good as mine. But every year I say this, we make it through every year. It's been seven of them. This will be the eighth one forthcoming. Looking forward, I'd be lying if I said I was looking forward to it, but we will make it through together. Trust me, we will have some fun along the way. Thursday, the first round of the NFL draft gets underway. We will be at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We'll be stepping aside about 6 o'clock, I believe, on Thursday so that we can bring you ESPN's coverage of the entire first round. That is critical here in Eastern Iowa because it's expected that a couple Hawkeyes are going to hear their names, and not just hear their names, but hear their names early in the draft, as TJ Hawkinson and Noah Fant are expected to go within the first, well, could be 12, could be 15, could be 18 picks. We don't know. That's the expectation. Hakeem Butler of Iowa State has been bandied about as well as a first-round draft pick. But, Alex, we appear to have some intrigue now. Or do we, going into Thursday night?
That's a great way of putting it, right? Because
maybe we do, maybe we don't.
Maybe we do, maybe we don't. NFL draft smokescreen season is upon us, and it started at the tail end of last week when CBS Sports' Pete Prisco said that he is hearing from his sources that the Arizona Cardinals will not draft Kyler Murray number one. They will move on to another draft pick. And then today, Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN said there is a 99.9% chance that the Arizona Cardinals draft Kyler Murray. The first question that popped into my head, or at least the thought that popped into my head, is they must not be getting anything as far as returns for Josh Rosen. Because why all of a sudden...
Which is their own fault.
But why all of a sudden, 5 days before the draft, would somebody in their camp leak the fact that they're not going to draft Kyler Murray while somebody else tells Mel Kiper Jr. that they are going to draft Kyler Murray? They're trying to get somebody to trade up to number one and offer them a king's ransom for Kyler Murray. It's what they're trying to do. I don't think anybody's going to bite. I think people are going to see right through this. This is no different than Jeff Fisher at number two years ago saying, we really like this Johnny Manziel kid. And yeah, they didn't draft him. Spoiler alert, they took Greg Robinson out of Auburn, which turned out to be as bad of a pick as Johnny Manziel ended up being at number 22 for the Cleveland Browns. But I think that they will take Kyler Murray, and what happens with Josh Rosen is going to be very interesting. But this Thursday night, I think we're going to see a wild one where trades are coming in right and left. I'm not necessarily saying the number one pick will be traded, but I think there will be a trade in the top five for sure.
It's very telling to me. You mentioned Pete Prisco of CBS. He has his latest mock draft out today, posted about 5 hours ago, and he has Kyler Murray falling all the way to number 13 and being selected by the Miami Dolphins.
Number 13.
It's basically Pete Prisco against the world right now when it comes to what's going on with Kyler Murray. Either he has a fantastic read on this and no one else is on board, or he's throwing a dart hoping he gets a bullseye.
I always think about this, and this I think it's frustrating because we're all in the dark, except for the people who have sources, and most of the time they're being played, right? They're not necessarily, they're being fed information from people within the walls of front offices around the league, but how often are they actually getting accurate information that they're giving to the public this time of year? So could you see the Cardinals telling everybody that they're taking Kyler Murray and then just choosing Pete Prisco as the guy to say, oh, yeah, well, we're not taking Kyler Murray, just to get it out there that they're going to trade him, or they're going to trade that number one overall pick? I'm trying to figure out what the end game is here for the Arizona Cardinals. And you know what? If he isn't drafted number one overall, Pete Prisco is going to be the one that is laughing at all of us.
So the caveat here on this latest mock draft that he has shared today is this is his opinion of what teams should do, not exactly what teams will do. So with keeping that in mind, he's got Arizona taking Nick Bosa number one off the board, which would probably be a good move for San Francisco 49ers fans who are a little concerned about some of Nick Bosa's social media activity and how he would fit in the community of San Francisco. But that's neither here nor there here in Eastern Iowa. Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle out of Alabama, goes second overall to the 49ers, followed by Kentucky's Josh Allen to the Jets at three. The fascinating thing here, Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State. We saw him in the Outback Bowl against the Hawkeyes, number four to the Raiders. Perhaps a topic of conversation for the program over the next couple days leading into Thursday, but I'm not sure there's a bigger wild card in this draft than Montez Sweat. He could go anywhere in the first round. Now, again, this is how Pete Prisco thinks, what he thinks teams should do, not how he thinks the draft is actually going to turn out. He's got TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant both going in the first round, but falling a little bit later than many other mock drafts out there. He's got the Titans selecting TJ Hockenson at 19 and saying in the real draft, Hockenson probably won't fall to this spot, but in this one he did, and the Titans would be thrilled if that happened. And then because no mock draft is good without a mock trade, he's got Green Bay coming up to number 21 and two spots after TJ Hockenson goes off the board at 19. At 21, he's got Green Bay selecting Noah Fant, and he writes, the Seahawks almost always trade down, and with four picks in this draft, they need to add some. So they take Green Bay's second first-round pick, number 30, and their third, the 75th overall, to move down as the Packers move up to get a nice pass-catching tight end. This particular mock draft does not have Hakeem Butler going in the first round. The Ravens, which have been mentioned as a team who could possibly be interested in him, do take a wide receiver. It's just Marquise Brown out of the same conference, Oklahoma.
I think that would be an excellent pick. I think that the Packers would be very interested, and I heard that's a name that people believe is that's going to be a lock for first-round pick. That's been the rumblings as of late that he's a Marquise Hollywood Brown out of Oklahoma will be a first-round pick. The other buzz that we're hearing is that some of these quarterbacks are sort of falling into line, and there are a lot of rumblings as to where they're going to be heading. A lot of people believe that if Dwayne Haskins is there at, what's it, number six for the Giants? It's number six for the Giants. He will go to the New York Giants, and he will be the replacement for Eli Manning. And also at 10, people think that John Elway is absolutely enamored with Drew Lock out of Missouri, which makes a whole lot of sense because John Elway really loves mediocre quarterbacks. So I think that would be
shade.
That will be a nice fit. And that sort of leads the question, where does Daniel Jones end up? Where do some of these other guys fall into line? But we could see four quarterbacks in that first round. We're starting to get an idea as to where they're going to head. But Drew Lock and Dwayne Haskins are probably going to both go in the top 10 as the way things are shaking out right now. Although, this time of year, I always caution people, I'll do it again, don't believe everything that you hear pre-draft.
Is there reason to believe Arizona will not take Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick in the draft? 319-366-1600. What would you do if you were the Cardinals? I think you are absolutely right. I think that the Cardinals have not played this to the best of their abilities. They have no leverage with Josh Rosen because it's been made obvious. Even in hiring Cliff Kingsbury, it's obvious to anybody who observes this league that Kingsbury has that relationship with Kyler Murray. They've got the number one overall pick. This isn't a situation where there's speculation about them trading up to get Kyler. They've got the number one pick. They are in the catbird seat. So all of a sudden, you got other general managers who are sitting around going, their hands are tied. Their hands are tied. If they want Murray, they take him number one, but they got to move Rosen, and we've got all the power. We've got the leverage here because they're sellers, not buyers.
I can't believe I didn't see this. It all makes sense now. You ever have these moments?
Alex
where,
has had an epiphany.
Where
hold
you
the
have
phone.
An epiphany right in the middle of a segment. So Arizona, like you said, they have the leverage. They have the power. They have the number one pick. And this move is very clearly aimed at a team or teams outside of the top five, we'll say, or excuse me, outside of the top three that want to move up and select a quarterback. Now, where has there been a place in the NFL where there have been a lot of leaks coming out about their interest in Kyler Murray throughout the the entire offseason to the point where the coach and the general manager kicked the entire scouting department out of the war room prior to the draft. Maybe a team that has three first-round picks that they would might
Here's
be able
a team.
To, yeah, they might be able to acquire
three first-round picks.
Arizona might be able to acquire a couple of those. This smokescreen appears directly targeted at the Oakland Raiders, who I think have dabbled with the idea of drafting Kyler Murray. If you remember, John Gruden was enamored with another small quarterback and Johnny Manziel when he was coming out of Texas A&M. Said
John,
he should have
John
said, said that John Football should have been the number one overall pick. And I think that they're sort of playing, the Cardinals are playing footsie with the Oakland Raiders right now, seeing if they're going to bite.
An interesting side note to the story we discussed last week about the Raiders, the report that the Raiders had sent all of their scouts home, basically kicked them out of the draft room. We're not sharing any information with them. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but Mike Mayock's daughter tweeted out that he will not even leave his scouting notebook, his draft preparation, laying around in his own house, that he takes it when he goes to the bathroom. He takes the scouting notebook for the draft into the bathroom with him so that he can keep eyes on it at all times. He does not even trust his own family with that information. Does this now make a little bit more sense with the Raiders?
Yeah,
that they are very, very concerned.
That they're paranoid?
Well, I read a funny story over the weekend, and I can't remember what organization it involved, but it was similar in the same vein. They had a scout that they did not trust, and so they brought him into the room by himself, and they had rearranged the names on the draft board. They put somebody at the top of the draft board that they were not planning on selecting, and lo and behold, within a day, a story had come out, a leak had come out that the team was targeting this particular, and then they knew who the rat was, and so they wound up parting ways. I wish I could remember just exactly which organization that was. And I think it's plain as day here. Arizona knows what it wants to do and can't really maximize the return on Josh Rosen. And so maybe there is a little bit of, it's not necessarily buyer's remorse because they didn't make a trade for the number one overall pick. And it's not buyer's remorse because buyer's remorse on Rosen. It's just they hired a guy who likes the quarterback who's available. And if it's his system and Murray's familiar with it, maybe he's the best fit moving forward. Bosa, and we've talked with a number of draft people and NFL experts on the show. Most of them have said, look, make yourself better on the defensive side of the ball. Bosa is the number one pick. And this was all before Arizona hired Cliff Kingsbury, and then that sort of changed the game, so to speak. But draft Nick Bosa. Don't look at his social media. Don't worry about his political views. Draft him and make your defense better. And let somebody else gamble on Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, to me, is a huge gamble.
Absolutely.
And if you've got the number one pick, and this is, again, this goes back to not seeing the forest for the trees when the Chicago Cubs and Theo Epstein were doing their rebuild, and it's Chris Bryant and John Gray, who's now pitching for the Colorado Rockies. And they need pitching. They need pitching. They need pitching. Teams that draft pitching in Major League Baseball are gambling because there's no such thing as a pitching prospect, because guys' elbows can start barking, to use Jacob deGrom terminology, at any minute. So you got to, when you're picking that high, you almost have to take the safe, sure thing when it's out there. And Chris Bryant was about as safe of a bet. And again, kicking myself for not seeing the wisdom and the logic in this, but it's never too early to come around on an opinion. And I came around real quick on Chris Bryant, like within a couple weeks of seeing what he was doing after he got drafted. I think you take the sure thing. I think if you're the Cardinals, you draft Bosa.
There are the other people that have the opinion about Quinnen Williams out of Alabama as far as maybe a guy in the middle of the defensive line that could give you a pass rush? Because I think that's what's so impressive about this class. It's not just the edge rushers. It's not just Bosa or Josh Allen or Montez Sweat or some of these other guys like Brian Burns out of Florida State or Clelin Ferrell out of Clemson. It's Ed Oliver and Quinnen Williams and these defensive linemen, these defensive tackles, Rayshon Gary out of Michigan, who can also rush the passer, sort of the mold of an Aaron Donald type that we're seeing more and more of in the NFL. So maybe a guy like Williams gives you a more sure thing at the top of the first round. I agree. I think Kyler Murray is fantastic. He is a great football player. He is a huge, 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 huge gamble at number one. I know it goes back to injuries. It goes back to his size. And can he take the hits in the NFL that are going to be necessary to sustain his health in the National Football League? Those are the biggest concerns. The size from the pocket standpoint, I don't worry about that. I think he has all the necessary tools to be a good passer in the NFL. It's the injury concerns that become huge once you get into the NFL and you're 5'9" and 190 pounds.
We will know what direction not only the Cardinals are heading in the first round, but the other teams that hold first round picks, and perhaps one or two that don't. They could trade up into the first round. Thursday night, 6:00, we will begin coverage with the first selection and carry you all the way through the first round right here on KGYM. We're going to be hanging out doing so at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. We very much would love to see you there at Mulligan's. Happy hour starts at 3, runs until 6. And on Thursdays, like this week, half-price wings from 6 until close. The NFL draft coming up Thursday right here on KGYM. Is there any truth to the rumor that the Cardinals may be looking away from taking Kyler Murray with the first overall pick? It's our poll question available at KGYMradio.com. Stop by and vote. We'll give you an update on the tally before we part ways tonight. It is 6:23. We need to take a quick timeout. We'll step away for just a little bit. When we return, I've never seen Fred Hoiberg do this before. Maybe it'll work out for him. Plus, Kyle's going to bring you another Alexander Lumber big board update. It's all on the way after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important, and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There is a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees, the 75 Reds, the 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's U Nash and Dukes on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Riding a three-game winning streak on the road, Twins continue this two-city road trip with a three-game series in Houston. Hi, this is Corey Provis. A night game coming up on Monday on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
626, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday, April 22nd, 2019. We will hear tomorrow from Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker as Iowa's offensive and defensive coordinator meet the media in Iowa City, wrapping up another season of spring football with the Hawkeyes. Alexander Lumber is located in Iowa City. They've got a temporary spot at 2802 Independence Drive. They've also got the Answers by Alexander window showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. If you're in the mood to do a home remodel or upgrading your windows, you can check them out there on South Gilbert Street. They present to you the latest big board update, and now I present to you our producer, Kyle Mann.
It was a big statement weekend for the Iowa baseball team, taking two of three games from a Nebraska team that came to Iowa City leading the Big Ten and ranked 30th in the country. Zeb Adrian delivered a walk-off victory in Game 1 on Friday, and Ben Norman and Isaiah Fullard each homered in a wild 17-9 victory in Game 2, in which eight different Hawkeyes knocked in a run. Iowa came up short in Game 3, but had already clinched its fourth consecutive Big Ten series win to move into fourth place, just a game and a half out of first. Milwaukee comes to town for a game tomorrow at 6. It was a weekend for the record books for the Iowa golf team. They broke the program 18-hole record with a first-round 262 at the Hawkeye Invitational, and by the time the Hawkeyes won the whole thing on Sunday, they'd beaten the 54-hole record by 24 strokes. Matthew Walker and Alex Shockey led the way, sharing co-medalist honors at the top. The Rough Riders split a pair of games in the Western Conference Finals of the USHL playoffs over the weekend, so they and the Chicago Steel return to Cedar Rapids for games 3 and 4 tomorrow and Wednesday. The Colonels fell just short of sweeping Beloit with a loss on Saturday, but the Colonels are up in Wisconsin tonight to start a seven-game road trip. First pitch set for 6:35. Tonight after the show, we'll pick up the first-place Twins just in time for first pitch from Houston. First pitch set for 7:10, and you can hear it on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Haven't mentioned this yet today, but Mariel Shayok had a really nice showing at the Portsmouth Invitational over the weekend. The Portsmouth Invitational, for those of you who are unaware, is an NBA draft showcase. You have to be invited to it. Averaged 17 points in three games and was named to the all-tournament team. Nick Weiler-Babb also looking pretty good. He averaged 5.7 points and 6.7 rebounds to go along with 6.3 assists. So as we wind up coverage of the NFL draft, perhaps we turn our attention to the NBA draft moving forward. 366 1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, you can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Fred Hoiberg has reeled in a transfer to kick things off, to jumpstart the rebuild at Nebraska, and a pretty good one. Hanif Cheatham from Florida Gulf Coast.
Dunk City.
Dunk City is the latest transfer to affix himself to Fred Hoiberg. There's a great article. The Omaha World-Herald has profiled all of Fred Hoiberg's assistants, and the profile on Matt Abdelmassi pretty much lays out why Fred Hoiberg believes in the transfer route. He thinks that transfers who are typically older are more focused, they're more driven, they're out to prove something. basically they know that this is sort of their last go-around. And there's also not as much incubation time, which, and this goes back to that criticism that Hoiberg has, that people have known. Fred Hoiberg does not necessarily care for recruiting all of the time and effort and rear end kissing of a lot of coaches and handlers and investing years building relationships when at a whim a kid, okay, I've got a list of 10 schools and he strings 9 of them along and picks the 10th school with a transfer. A lot of times this is a 2-week shotgun wedding. They're transferring. You bring them in. You talk to them. You find out whether you like them or not, whether they're a good fit. And if they are, done deal. It makes sense, right?
It does, but with him, I think that he just does such a better job of vetting the transfer route, of bringing in guys that aren't going to be an issue to his program, because that's always the risk that you run when you go that route. And that hasn't been a problem for him. And he's also found a way to recruit the high school game well, too, because at Iowa State, some of his best players came the high school route. I think that's just that's a successful program that can do both. For years and years, Bill Snyder at Kansas State, that's how he built that program up, going the transfer route, going the junior college route until they were successful enough to recruit high school kids. And Fred Hoiberg, I think it gets lost, some of the players that were on campus in Ames from their freshman year, some all-time greats, and the mixture of the transfer talent that was brought into that all fun offensive culture already, just made for some fun basketball. I think it will in Lincoln, too.
Now, Matt Abdelmassi is the guy that brought Royce White to Iowa State. He had lined up a commitment from Cam Mack, who was the number 2 JUCO player in the country at St. John's, where he was working under Chris Mullen. Cam Mack is making a visit to Lincoln this weekend. So you've already got Hanif Cheatham out of Florida Gulf Coast, started his career, I think, at Marquette, right? And now you've got, so Cheatham's committed, and now you've got the number 2 junior college player in the country taking a visit to Lincoln this weekend. He's also got a visit scheduled the following weekend to Texas A&M. Gonzaga and Arkansas are also a little bit interested in there. Fred Hoiberg has followed this blueprint before. It's worked out very well for him. As you pointed out, he has the knock of transfer, but he also does supplement the roster with high school talent. But I like the reasoning here. I do like this. That look at Iowa. Iowa spent so much time and effort wooing the likes of DJ Carton. So much time and effort. And what did it get him? Jack squat. Transfer, 2 weeks, bring them in. They like it better than they like the other school or schools that they visit. Bing, bang, boom, done. And I do like the fact, as Fred Hoiberg pointed out, Iowa State was oftentimes in the Big 12 under his watch, one of the more veteran teams in the conference.
That's huge.
And you can't put a price on experience. So you get guys who are sort of on their last leg, or they're looking to prove themselves, or they come in with a chip on their shoulder. You get older players. Now you also have to deal with the sitting out a year in most instances, although the NCAA seems to have gotten way more lenient with that. And I know Kirk Ferentz's skin would be bristling if he heard that right now, since he's still smarting over Drew Ott. And I understand it's football and not basketball, but there are advantages and there are drawbacks to going the transfer route. But if you read this piece on Matt Abdelmassi, you can understand the philosophy here. And I'm starting to think this could very well be a short turnaround time for Nebraska. A lot of people were like, we'll judge Fred Hoiberg in 3 or 4 years. I don't think it's going to take 3 or 4 years to get Nebraska. Again, this is not Alford leaving for New Mexico and the cupboard being completely bare for an overmatched Todd Licklider. Nebraska there's a little bit of talent left behind by Tim Miles. And more importantly, open roster spots to fill with transfers for Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when people point this out right away that, oh, well, he's going the transfer route. Yeah, he kind of has to go the transfer route right now. When you take over a program, there's not really any time left to go the high school route with this class. They have to bring in guys that are looking for a new home that fit their mold. And that's the most important part. Like, look at Iowa State, even without Fred Hoiberg, look at what Steve Prohm has done. It's been the same blueprint there. Prohm has recruited at a higher level of high school kids. But look at Mariel Shayok. Those are the type of players that I think you're going to see more and more of in Lincoln. Guys that you just use the common sense. Was this guy a problem on his last team? You talk to the old coach. No, this guy was not a problem. He just didn't quite fit into what we wanted to do. A more open offensive system is going to do him wonders. More freedom on the offensive end is going to help him become a more productive player. That's sort of the mold that Fred Hoiberg has followed and Steve Prohm followed after him. Same with Nick Weiler-Babb coming from Arkansas.
Cheatham averaged 13.2 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 1.9 assists at Florida Gulf Coast this past season, again committing to Nebraska, and the rebuild is well underway for Fred Hoiberg. And you know what? It's about time Husker fans had something to cheer for after they've had their rear ends handed to them in football and a bunch of other sports by Iowa, including 2 of 3 this weekend at Duane Banks in Iowa City, as the Hawkeyes look to carry a little momentum. They did drop that series finale yesterday to the Huskers. It would have been nice to see them sweep, but they'll take on Milwaukee tomorrow, a 6:05 first pitch at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. So keep an eye on the Huskers. They've already got one transfer in the fold, and the nation's number 2 JUCO prospect coming in for a visit this weekend. Meanwhile, in Iowa City, we still don't know what direction Fran McCaffrey is going to go in filling the vacant assistant position on his staff, but better pick up the pace because pretty key recruiting period is about to kick off in a few days. Andrew Francis now at Cal, Fran McCaffrey with a decision to make on who to bring aboard. We wait with bated breath. 6:38, we'll take our final timeout when we return. We'll put the finishing touches on a Monday edition of the show and let you know what's in store for a Tuesday. Todd Brummel Camp with Alex Kuhn after this.
Come check out the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring products in eastern Iowa and save big during the Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Now through May 4th, take up to 20% off pet-friendly flooring products from some of the best manufacturers in the industry. Carpet, tile, luxury vinyl, and much more. If it's a pet-friendly flooring product, it's on sale. The Randy's Flooring Love Your Pet Sale. Visit randysflooring.com to learn more and save big on your next flooring purchase. Now through May 4th.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
The next time you need auto parts and accessories, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For decades, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for their knowledge and commitment to customer service. And you can too. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Riding a three-game winning streak on the road, Twins continue this two-city road trip with a three-game series in Houston. Hi, this is Corey Provis. A night game coming up on Monday on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:42, welcome back in as we wrap up a Monday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, as well as local programming here on KGYM. We'll return with local shows tomorrow at 3 o'clock. It's the Gym Class, hosted by Scott Unash. Mark Dukes along for the ride, brought to you every day by Third Base Brewery here in Cedar Rapids. Tune in tomorrow, 3 o'clock. They'll have an opportunity for you to take home tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels at an upcoming game, a family four-pack of tickets. Details available on that and more at our website, KGYMradio.com. A big thank you to Chris Earle of TV9 for joining us pretty much right off the top of the show today. The Iowa House was taking up their version of legalizing sports gambling, and nothing seems to have taken place with that today. So there was the expectation or the belief that there would be some movement on that today. It does not appear that there is an update at this point, and so maybe tomorrow will be the day we find out whether or not this is one step closer to becoming a reality. As Chris pointed out, if the House passes the bill, then it goes to the governor, Kim Reynolds, for her signature. She's got 3 days to sign it, and then it becomes a law. If she doesn't sign it, well, then Iowa, in my opinion, will have missed a wonderful opportunity to generate a lot of revenue, millions of dollars in revenue for the state. As we mentioned on the program before, the casinos across the state of Iowa are all ready to get the ball rolling on this. Catfish Bend, which is the casino in Burlington, is opening a sports bar area where, I mean, they're waiting, and they can do this turnkey, drop of a hat. They will be ready to go. And Chris threw out the date of July 4th as the possible start, which would mean, well, I guess if you're a complete total degenerate, you'd have some baseball games to wager on July 4th. And that's pretty much, you know, the NBA playoffs are wrapped up by then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stanley Cup playoffs
are
wrapped up.
Can you wager on NBA free agency?
Well, futures, as long as it's not college players in the state of Iowa, I think everything's going to be free game. So a possible update on that program, on that story, a developing story tomorrow on the program. Of course, I think the topic most people will be interested in tomorrow is what Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker have to say about Iowa's offense and defense. Who are you more interested in hearing from tomorrow? Because everybody tends to gravitate toward Brian Ferentz, but Phil Parker loses Anthony Nelson on the defensive side of the football. A.J. Epenesa is ready to have his national breakout, in my opinion. You've got Amani Hooker also out of the picture on the defensive side of the football. Phil Parker is not necessarily a man of many words. He doesn't love being in front of the media and the microphones and the cameras the way that I think Brian Ferentz does, but I'm kind of looking forward to Phil Parker more than I am Brian at this point.
I'm looking forward to Brian Ferentz.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you that.
First of all, Phil Parker, I know he's a very intense coach, but in front of the media, he is a man of few words. He puts things very point blank. I know they have some issues on that side of the ball, or at least not issues, but question marks. They figure it out, and he's done such an amazing job that I think a lot of people take for granted their ability to reload on that side of the ball, where you lose guys like Josh Jackson and you replace them. You lose guys on the defensive line and linebacking core like Josie Jewell and Ben Neiman, and you replace them. And they had their ups and downs, but they're a pretty solid unit last year. I think they're going to be very solid again this year. The offensive side of the ball is where the real question marks are, because we haven't seen a whole lot of production or consistent production from that side of the ball the last few years. Can Nate Stanley take a step forward? Can they find offensive targets to replace Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson? Will either of those two young receivers and Nico Reganey and Tyrone Tracy step up? Will Amir Smith-Marset take a step forward? Brandon Smith. There are so many question marks about that team and also the interior of the offensive line. What will it look like? So the offensive side of the ball is always going to take precedent, because that's where more of the issues have resided in this program over the past 5 years.
All right, an update for you. According to Caroline Cummings, who covers the Iowa State House for our friends at KGAN, CBS2 here in eastern Iowa, the House is currently debating the bill that would legalize sports gambling right now at this very moment. So they have not adjourned for the evening. So we very well could find out tonight whether or not, if they choose to vote tonight, whether this goes to Governor Reynolds for her signature or whether this somehow turns into a giant fiasco. I expect this to pass. According to Justin Surrency, who covers the State House for WHO, the House bill says that 0.25% of the revenue generated would go to gambling treatment programs at the Iowa Department of Public Health. So just a tiniest fraction of 1% would go to helping those who are going to be in deep doo-doo if this becomes... I don't anticipate millions of people flocking to Iowa and betting their mortgage on sports wagering, but there's always going to be people who have problems when given certain freedoms.
Like to bet on their... place wagers on their phone? That kind of freedom?
Yes. Well, you got to go to the casino the first time, and then
every other time.
Then you can live 150 miles away from the casino, and as long as you are in the state's borders, you're good to go. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. No Cubs baseball tonight. They get the day off as David Bote flies back to Denver to be with his wife after a walk-off base hit against the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday at Wrigley Field. A memorable one for sure. His fourth career game-winning RBI, for those of you keeping track. We asked earlier today, who's your favorite David Bote-type player? And got a lot of great feedback on the text line. Cardinals and... is this Cardinals and Brewers again?
Cardinals and Brewers.
Already?
Again.
Oh, that's good for Christian Yelich. They're scoreless, though, in the top of the first inning. Kansas City and Tampa Bay are tied at one in the bottom of the third inning. And some news out of Boston, not good for the Red Sox. Nathan Eovaldi out 4 to 6 weeks, according to a source reporting for MLB.com. So the Red Sox, who have struggled mightily early on this season, are once again bit by the injury bug. Nowhere near as bad as the Yankees, which, by the way, are we going to hold Joe Rivera's comment again about Luke Voit against him?
No, I mean, okay. I think it's inaccurate, but for a guy that has an 8-game hitting streak and is has an on-base percentage of 360, but it's his prerogative.
The fantasy league that I own him in is an on-base percentage league.
There you
so
go.
I am not exactly sweating that. What is the batting average? 240, 230, something?
225, 230, yeah. Something like that.
Let the kids play.
And I think Paul Goldschmidt has something around the same, somewhere around the same average. So it's early.
And don't come on the program and badmouth Luke Voit. The other two games in progress right now, the White Sox at Baltimore, scoreless after two, and Arizona and Pittsburgh are through 1.5. We will have for you on 107.5 FM tonight the Minnesota Twins as they travel to Houston to begin, I believe, what is a three-game series with the Astros. We'll have all three of those games for you on 107.5 FM, 7 o'clock first pitch at Minute Maid Park. Brad Peacock will strut his stuff for the Astros tonight. He's 2-0 with a 3.94 ERA. And Jake Odorizzi, 1-2 with a 4.76 earned run average, gets the ball for the Twins. We'll have more discussion on baseball throughout the week, of course, but the focus again on tomorrow's program turning to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Is there any truth to the rumblings that the Arizona Cardinals are going to move on from Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick and use it on somebody else? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question today at KGYMradio.com. As you and I discussed, I still think Arizona pulls the trigger and takes Murray number one overall. This perhaps is a ploy to get a team to jump into trade discussions with them, and you had one team in particular sniffed out. You think this is trying to sucker the Raiders into talking about Josh Rosen.
A team that's been rumored to have interest in Kyler Murray, a team that has draft capital to move up to number one to take Kyler Murray. I think this is a direct smokescreen to see if the Raiders will jump up to that spot and give them an extra give the Cardinals an extra first-round pick to select Kyler Murray. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
15 years ago today, for those of you interested in observing anniversaries in the sports world, it was 15 years ago today that we lost former Arizona State Sun Devil and Arizona Cardinal Pat Tillman to a friendly fire incident in Afghanistan. There is a fantastic profile on Pat Tillman and a particular photo of him that ran in a profile in Sports Illustrated available if you are a subscriber to The Athletic. I highly recommend that you check out that profile today. And happy Earth Day to everybody here in Eastern Iowa. We went the entire program without mentioning the fact that today is Earth Day, and in honor of Earth Day, I'm going to, instead of crumpling up and throwing out my notes from today's program, I will put them into the recycling bin. If you missed anything from today's show, the podcast is available now at KGYMradio.com.